2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah help.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for, the sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome to your Thursday. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Wait, it's Thursday?
Thursday!
I need to put that on my calendar. I forgot.
You got to dial it back up.
Was it February? Because, man, it keeps snowing.
No, we're almost into...
It was snowing sideways on my way in here today.
We're sideways. Into April. And you know what?
Getting snow in my ear.
You know what I can't stand about us news people in this building? Yeah, we've had a great winter. The biggest one we've ever had, but still, though, it's a drought.
And
you go,
hey,
we gotta be doing this in the middle of the winter.
You.
Still, though, I'd turn your water off right now. Don't ever think about watering your lawn. Because it's just a mess. It, you know, yeah, we've been blessed with the moisture, but you know what we haven't gotten is out of this danger zone yet. Come on, can we just enjoy it while we have it? Please. I'm not going to complain 1 second about the snow because I know how much it means for our
mountains. Oh, I don't mind the snow.
Gotta have it. Unless you're crashing on your way into work, which is what Scott did a few weeks ago in the snow.
So, well, someone crashed into me.
Yeah.
My rear end.
That was my favorite thing. We got to turn this other mic on over here.
Did you get a wreck?
Yeah. First one in my life.
My favorite one was...
Somebody hit you in the back?
Yeah.
Oh,
it was on a snowy day, and I said, Alex, I called him. I said, maybe we can do a best of today? I mean, it's like...
How are we going to do a show? I go, wake up, dude.
He goes, just get in here. So I'm driving in, and it was terrible.
I mean, giving directions to the ambulance.
Yeah.
He goes, somebody hit me. I told you. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah,
car hit me from behind.
And I was like this, oh, my gosh, so are like, you going to be here at Showtime?
I didn't even stop when the car hit me. Because it was so dangerous. Like,
they didn't exchange information.
Couldn't pull off the side of the road. It was so like there dumb. Were cars off everywhere.
Oh, so dumb.
And here we are, another snow day.
Well, I can't get my car fixed until May.
Oh.
I have an appointment in the middle of May.
Because there's so many
wrecked
vehicles.
They're just so backed up. Yeah, they just said, take
a
number.
Well, is it because of they can't get the... And they rear-ended you, but did... Is it one of those things where, like, we can't get the computer chips for the bumper?
No. It's just normal body work.
Okay.
So, right. Alex, I guess we're out of the exclusive drought, the elusive drought.
Yeah.
The insanity drought, but we're back into the extreme.
It's like morbid. It's like morbid obesity. You know, they go, they're like, oh, he's fat. No, he's morbidly obese. And you go, why do you have to throw morbid in front of it? You just make us feel worse.
That's the definite. No, I've been called morbidly obese, and my doctor has called me that.
I know.
And actually told me that's the definition.
So we're in a morbid drought.
Yeah.
By the old BMI measures, I would be morbid obese.
Yes. I know.
You're fat.
Do we have new ones? Do we have new ones?
Yeah.
I want to get new ones.
They don't go by BMI anymore.
Good.
Nobody uses that metric anymore.
Good.
Hey, we've talked about like bone density on our show before.
Yeah.
Your bones don't weigh that much. Like about 10 to 12 pounds is how much your bones weigh.
That's it?
That's it. Nah, not
so
me.
So there's no the theory of big boned.
Yeah.
It's a myth.
It's a complete myth.
BS.
Like, no, it's not BS.
No, it isn't. It's just like
going,
all feet are the same size. It's not true. Like, Hans, he's got big bones. have larger bones. So do you.
So he's.
Don't. I'm not
so
doing.
He's up at that 12 pound bone range. Okay, that's where he is.
Don't. Okay.
Hans there's is the 10 nice pound enough. Bone range, and there's the 12 pound bone range. It doesn't go any more than that. That's
like,
it.
I don't like where this is going.
Put me on the high end of the 12. Then
that's good. Hans is nice enough to hang out a little bit longer show because today's an awesome day. He's been. It's official. And I know you guys have been sitting on this for a while. I've been super excited about when they were going to roll it out because you doing the analyst gig with Greg Wrubell on KSL News Radio and on BYU Radio, congrats, man. That's no better person to be able to do it, man.
Well, it's really surreal. And, Scott, you know the feeling. It's just surreal.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It is. And it's for me, it was just so fun. Because you get really intimately involved, and when you're a former player and it means something, you're an alumni to the program. At least for me, I'm just speaking for myself. Absolutely, have just enjoyed it. Now, of the 5 years I've been doing it, they've gone to 4 Pac-12 championship games and 2 Rose Bowls. I mean, it's really neat. But for you,
walking into the
going
Big 12,
into the
man.
Big 12, I mean, and go, you know, you got Texas, and I mean, what an exciting thing for you.
Can't believe it. You know, first Power 5 call be at Arkansas, and a place that I'm familiar with. I know that place pretty well. We did play Arkansas, and so I know it well and excited about that. Excited to go to TCU and watch BYU match up against last year's national champion game contender.
And when you guys are that first
runner-up,
that first Big 12 game at Kansas, I don't care if it's in Lawrence and everybody can say whatever they want. That is history, man. Like, you guys are walking in there. That's a really cool thing, and being on that broadcast team is fun. And I watched the video today, and I thought, how cool is this that you and Kalani sitting next to each other, and you know, in the booth, he comes in after those games, and you guys be able to chat pregame and everything on top of it. It's just there's no better connection to be able to have, so that's awesome.
Kalani, I've had so much fun over the years, and I try to not make it a big deal, but Kalani and I have been best friends for years, you know, going back to our playing days. We were extremely close when we were both playing at BYU. We were seniors together. As I mentioned on that short clip, he was the team captain. I was the guy that kept the team loose, but we had a blast together. Kalani and I understand that university, obviously Kalani more now because what he's done over the years, but I'm thrilled to go back and to be a voice of that game day experience. I'm excited because I've got a lot of confidence in the way I view a game.
Yeah. This is not your first rodeo.
I've really honed in and refined my skills and the way I view a game. And I do come from the trench perspective, having played both O-line and D-line in the NFL and in the AFL. I've got a really good understanding of what's happening there. And then obviously can make hides and tails of everything else that's going on around the trench. So BYU fans are going to get a different perspective than they've ever had from the booth, whether it was Lions or Nelson.
A couple quarterbacks. What do they know?
I see the game different.
Well, what's interesting because I'm from the perspective of a quarterback, right? And so you have a general understanding of everything. I mean, you just do. But what I've always found, and I say this every single week, just watch the trenches on both sides. You'll know who's going to win this game. If you want to view a game, view it from the inside out. View it from the trenches because that's where you're going to – like me, like when I'm watching the game and I'm viewing it, that's how I look at it.
Yeah.
And you just tell. So, I you know, that should be an exciting thing for BYU fans because – getting that inside out view is just an awesome perspective to actually get.
And that's where I step first. And I know I talk way too much offensive line and people tune out. I get it. I know. But it is my passion. Offensive line is where I left the game. That's where I left the game. I was playing the center position.
Well, I love offensive linemen.
They were your lifeline. Your lifeline.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir here, buddy.
They were your lifeline. But I'm so pumped just to be able to bring that game. And I've called about 15 bowl games, and I was mentioning to Scott that I probably have been in those 15 bowl games, 11 or 12 different play-by-play voices.
Yeah, so that's great.
I've sat in with some of the top national play-by-play voices and called SEC Big Ten matchups And I've had an opportunity to figure out what I'm good at and what I'm not good at, what I need to get better with. And so BYU fans are going to get a pretty refined broadcast.
You guys are going to hit your stride fast.
What are you looking forward to the most? Like, I know what for me was going to all the different, like, venues. That to me was the most, you know, to call a game from the Coliseum or Autzen Stadium or Husky Stadium. I mean, the beautiful, like, I loved it up in, you know, what is it for you that's most exciting you're looking forward to?
I actually like that question, and it puts my mind into really deep thought. And this last football season, I spent game days, my son's being recruited by all the universities, different universities. And so I took my son to all the different stadiums here in the state. And the game day experience, you know, whether you're walking into Merlin Olsen Field or you're walking into Rice-Eccles or you're walking into Lavelle Edwards Stadium, and walking in with my son and having him experience these game day moments and the chills that come with the smells and the crowds and the warm-ups. And as I'm walking around with my son and sitting down in the different recruiting areas and watching these games, my mind couldn't help but take me to wanting to bring this moment to people that weren't there. I wanted to bring the moment to people that aren't there. I wanted to tell them what I'm seeing on the field. I wanted to tell them what the crowd's doing and what the band sounds like and what the different dance teams are doing. And I wanted to bring the moment and put it in people's ears. And so I think it's being able to share the moment, which would go back to what you said. Being in that stadium, being in Longhorn Stadium this year.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
And being able to bring the environment and the crowd and Steve Sarkisian, who is a former teammate of mine, and being able to catch up with this Manning kid that's supposed to be all everything.
Yeah, he might not even be starting.
And you know, I played with Peyton Manning, so I've got those connections. And it's like everything just – I want to bring it to people.
That's going to be cool.
I call two Rose Bowls, and I can't tell you which one was better. I mean, it really, the hair on the back of your neck, it's a cool thing. It really is.
Couldn't happen to a better person, and I think it's awesome for you, obviously, and for the broadcast, for the station, for this building. Think about this.
You got Utah State, you got Utah, you got BYU. You got the voice of RSL. You got the voice of the Jazz. I mean,
not a big deal.
KSL Sports Zone is kind of the voice of sports in the state of Utah.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is.
I didn't think of it that way, but that is kind of crazy.
Yeah,
you got every angle broadcast right here on the station.
I love it. We're pumped for you. It's a really fun thing. I'm excited for you.
It is awesome.
Now, from the family perspective, are they like, oh, great, another thing Dad's going to be gone for? Or are they just going to be like, they've got to be along for the ride too, in a way.
So I've done the pre and post for both BYU and Utah for 16 years, and weekends were weekends. Except with the exception of this last year, I stopped doing BYU and only did Utah pre and post, so that I could take my son to the games and help him kind of understand the recruiting process. Outside of that, it's my weekends have just through the football season and been stacked with responsibilities.
Well, Mark did it. Mark Lyons did it for 38 years. You got 38 seasons in you?
Well, we were talking to Greg Rebel today, and he's been 27 years with
already.
Mark Durant.
And he's already, oh my goodness. And but he also looks like he's could go another 35. And so you go,
yeah,
like, let's go, man.
Yeah. I would definitely settle in as long as I can. Something that as long as I'm on broadcast, I would love to be calling those games. And I also want people to understand that whether it's Scott Mitchell or it's Alex or it's me or it's Scotty, we don't have designs, man. We don't. We come in with the big sports stories. We'll start with the big stories. If it's the Jazz, if it's the Cougars, if it's the Utes, that's what we bring to you. And what we do on the weekends is just addition to what we get to do on the weekends.
Yeah, it's a hobby.
Yeah, it is. It's an exciting part that we also get to bring to you maybe on a Monday, and the experience of the Rose Bowl or an experience of Longhorn Stadium or an experience of being at Arkansas.
What a fun time, man. BYU,
really, really excited for
you. Think about what BYU Athletics is going to do now, and to be able to just be along for every step of that way as they start to get into the Big 12. Yeah. We're happy for you. We're glad to be a part of it. We're glad to watch from our seats, man. So it's fun.
Give me your best tip, Scott. Give me your best Best advice.
You know, so it's being able to say something intelligent in a very short period of time. Like to be able to describe what's happening in a very short period of time. And I actually spend a lot of time outside of the broadcast doing that. So how do you describe what just happened in a way that people go, oh, I understand that, but it's because you don't have that much time. Like yeah. It just goes, I mean, you've broadcast the games before. Yeah. And that to me, but then it's like, I don't know, I've always just felt like I want to share with people what's really going on. I don't want to give this polished BS answer that sounds amazing and you speak eloquently, but it's not really what's happening on the field. Tell people the truth. Tell people what's actually happening on the field. That's what they want to know.
Yeah.
I always love it. You know, for me, who's listened to every broadcast, like as a kid, I had the radio next to my head, you know, because yeah. like I didn't watch the cartoons in the morning. I watched SportsCenter. So like dialing into games, I always loved to just
you didn't do Saturday cartoons. You did Saturday.
No, you know what's funny? No, you know what's funny is my parents were like, what is your problem? Because I would have the third ESPN or third SportsCenter that morning because they used to be 30 minutes.
Parents call me. I can tell you what
they used to have. 30,
are you being serious?
I'm not 100% in the mornings. I would watch because they put it on in the mornings when I was a kid. And they would just replay the night, and it was 30 minutes back then. They'd replay it, and they'd play it back-to-back. And by the third or fourth time, I'd be repeating the stuff they'd said. I'd find the same mistakes that Keith Olbermann or Dan Patrick would do, like that little flub or something. Yeah. I'd, like, wait for it. So when I'd listen to games, though, I always love when the analyst says something that almost that is so different from what the play-by-play guy did, because that's the job, right? It was just to be able to feel that moment in the stadium versus I want to know the score and the time and all those things. And then I want just a chunk of brilliance from somebody who knows way more about the game than I do.
You know, it's crazy because I grew up Merlin Olsen's nephew.
Yeah.
And he's regarded as one of the best broadcasters in NFL history.
He's good.
And it's always strange following an uncle who is a Hall of Famer and considered one of the best in broadcast. I think he did 4 or 5 Super Bowls. I think it was Pat Summerall, or I can't remember who.
Dick Enberg.
Dick Enberg was his. That's right, in studio, and it's just weird. I've always followed in his footsteps, lightly and with smaller feet. You know, like, hey, I don't want to ruin anything, but this was always a dream of mine too, just to follow along. At some point, I do want to reenact Jonathan Garvey in Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah, absolutely. What's funny is my sisters would be like, oh. Are you talking about Little House on the Prairie?
Little House on the Prairie.
Now we're talking because you're like the nicest guy on the planet. You're like, I always was like, you know, he was a terror on the football field, right? He might be the fearsome foursome. My heavens, that guy struck fear in the hearts of people. And now you see him on TV and you're like, oh, shucks. And you're like, yeah, right.
You know, Little House on the Prairie did a football episode. Did you know this?
No.
They did?
They did a football episode, and they actually did the football episode, and Merlin's line in it, because they eventually come to Merlin or Jonathan Garvey,
right.
And they say, can you help us with this football team? And his exact line is, I don't know anything about football.
That's amazing. He says,
I don't know anything about football. And you can see the smiles on all the cast.
Right. Michael Landon's
yeah.
In the old wink. I love it. Well,
thanks, guys.
We took more time from you than we said we would.
Happy
so
to
we
do
appreciate it, man.
Thanks for hanging out.
Congrats.
Thanks, guys.
Hans Olsen, there you go. The newest analyst for BYU football on the radio. And you'll hear him on BYU Radio. You'll hear him on KSL News Radio. Broadcast across the entire West.
Well, that's a good get for BYU. It is.
Perfect.
He will do an amazing
job. And you know what is funny is that people were kind of figuring it out. Because when you talk about, well, who could be really good? I think the only question was, is he going to be able to? He's already doing this radio thing. Nice to be in the same building and the same family, you know, as KSL Radio and to be able to do that. And, man, it's awesome. Good for him and good for BYU football. All right.
I had an experience today. I saw something today, Alex, that, oh, boy, I got to tell you about it.
Should we take a break?
Well, we have to experience it, I think. Actually.
We do. Okay.
We should experience it on the radio.
All right. Well.
We can experience it with our fans on the radio.
I
think we should do it.
When we come back? Well, yeah. Speaking of voices of people, we have the broadcast. We have Hans, who's the new analyst for BYU. And then we have DJ coming up here in just a couple of moments.
We
didn't even get to get into the cut. We're not going to play it now. We're too far in now.
Maybe we could do it right now.
You want to do the cut?
No, not the cut.
Oh, you want to do your thing?
You want to do my thing? We got DJ coming up.
Absolutely. So whatever. What's your thing? Here, roll it out for me.
Okay. I think what it, like this could be life changing for a lot of people.
What is it?
Like you like salsa, right?
Oh yeah.
So I met with a salsa queen today, and I've had their salsa. I don't know if you've had their amazing salsa.
I have. Right? Well, I have a jam that I do. I throw the creamy jalapeno on the taco. Yes.
Oh,
that's my thing.
I think their salsa goes amazing on any taco.
Yeah.
But yeah, incredible.
I do this. I know you know my smoked. My smoked chili verde.
Yes.
That's the signature thing. I throw the roasted tomatillo on there.
Very good. It's incredible. All right. They have a new product out.
What is it?
It is.
Hold on. Don't say food or about anything unless you actually have it.
No, I have it.
You did? Okay.
No. I have chips. I have everything. I want you to try the whole thing.
All right.
It's dehydrated salsa. Now, people go, That can't be good.
Like, do you drink it? you drink the powdered stuff?
It's powder. It's in a pouch.
How does that work?
You know how they...
They reconstitute it.
Right. You just add some water to it.
Oh, amazing.
You add water, and it's in a pouch, and you can actually add it in the pouch.
Okay.
And it's...
And you have it here?
I have it here.
Now, we can't eat it in the studio, so we have to go out and eat it?
You got to try it.
Okay. All right.
It's incredible.
Done. You know, you don't have to tell me twice.
No. It's just like it was... The regular guy.
Okay. All right. We're going to do it. All right. Some Salsa Queen dehydrated salt. Jeremy, you down?
Salsa? Yes. Yes.
Okay. No. We're going to try it. Let's take a break. Speaking of food, G2G Bars, as always, brings you our program. G2G Bars, perfect for anybody who needs that quick, tasty, nutritious boost. Additive-free, preservative-free, Costco.com, Costco in the store. And your Associated Foods, your... Holiday Oil Maverick, all in the refrigerated section. So there you go. And also Trajan Wealth, TrajanWealth.com for your retirement guidance. TrajanWealth.com. Let's take a break. We'll come back. DJ is going to join us, not just of DJ and PK fame, but he's also, of course, calling Real Salt Lake. And there are a lot of questions people have about this Real Salt Lake team as they head to Columbus this weekend. They have been in a bad spot after starting the year off with a W. The question is how can they break this losing streak? And DJ will hopefully have some answers for us. Coming up next, stay with us, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome back. It is Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for hanging out with us. We appreciate Hans taking a couple extra minutes here. As they made it official today that Hans is going to be calling the games with Greg Rebell on KSL News Radio. And he's going to do a masterful job. Speaking of voices in this at this station who cover the local teams here, David James, of course, of DJ and PK fame, and bringing you, of course, the radio broadcast for all the Real Salt Lake matches throughout the season. DJ, thanks for hanging out with us, man.
No worries, anytime.
Listen, what's going on with this Real team? I mean, what an exciting start to the season, and then I don't know if this is a reality check or if things. With soccer, it's interesting because these matches. They go these different ways, and you go, man, 4-0 last week, and I know St. Louis is good. And you go to Columbus, you know, this weekend if you're Real Salt Lake, and they're no slouch. How on earth are they going to break out of this losing streak here?
Welcome to sports, man. Suck it up. Play better than the other guys. Hopefully you get a little luck. But if you don't, then go make your own luck. You know, it's funny. There's an old saying in Vegas poker rooms, which I would never go to because – this saying would apply to me, that if you look around the table and you don't know who the mark is, it's you. there's usually one softy at every table. Scott, when you're in the NFL, there was probably one team in every division, and you'd look at him and you think, okay, you're in our division, we play you twice, there's two wins, you're no good. If you look around the division, you can't figure out who that team is, that might be you. So at some point, you gotta flip things on their head and turn it around from the way it's been going. There are plenty of examples in RSL history and in MLS with lots of teams that there's a stretch of the season where it really sucks, and then there's a stretch of the season where it goes great. It's a long season that lasts for months. It's hard to just get in a groove and stay there and dominate. It doesn't happen very often. So the question is, if everybody's going to have peaks and valleys, how long are you in your valley? How long before you snap mm-hmm. out of it? You're going to, but is it going to be 10 games and then you snap out of it and you've given up all this ground? Or it's 3 games and you get over it and you move on. You win a couple, you'll be right back in it, you know, but you got to get going.
Yeah, it's a lonely feeling, by the way, when you have to look around and figure out you're the team everyone looks at. That's not a real right. fun thing to be. But the great thing about it is from an outside perspective, it's frustrating and you just have to watch. But when you're in the building and you're part of the team, you feel like you can do something about it. You know, you're not happy about it, you're not you're the agent of change. And so who on this RSL team is that player or group of players? Who do we look to get this thing turned around?
I think that's a great question. And I think that the answer depends on what the problem is at the time. And right now, you could say there are lots of problems because no one thing wins or loses a game in any sport. But the biggest problem right now, if I made a list, clearly problem number one is they're not scoring goals. They have scored 3 goals in 4 games. 2 of them have been scored by a defender, which, you know, they've got to score on set pieces, and Justin Glad mm-hmm. has. But that means all the attacking players combined have 1 goal.
Jeez. Ouch.
So any of the attacking players can look at themselves and say, maybe I should get 1 more goal. Demir Krylak has a goal and an assist, which in 4 games, if he keeps that pace up and he finishes with 9 goals and 9 assists, you know, that's not an unreasonable ballpark. I'm sure he wants more than that because 2 years ago he scored 16 goals, his career high. But at least he can say I'm on a ballpark. You know, I think the next guy you have to look at is Savarino because a lot is expected from him. He should be coming into his prime. He's played well internationally. He's played well for RSL. Why not play well now? There's really no reason. And then I think, you know, they brought in Gomez. He's really young. He's adjusting, but he's in the starting 11. So he's got to do something. You know, I think it's more understandable that he's struggling. If you come in 19, 20 years old, you're living in a new continent, you don't know anybody, and you don't crush it in the first 4 games, we all get why. But since the coach still believes in you, and I expect he's going to be in the starting lineup for a 5th game, you know, at some point you got to do something. And then there's the position that just makes RSL fans grind their teeth, and that's the 9, that's the forward, mm-hmm. the striker, the tip of the spear, all that stuff. And they've alternated between 2 guys, Anderson Julio and Rubio Rubin. Anderson got the last start. Rubio Rubin was away with Guatemala. And he scored, so maybe that gives him a little confidence. And, you know, nothing better than throwing a touchdown pass, right, Scott, to make you want to go out and throw another one.
As long as you throw it to your team. Don't be throwing it to the other team. Those are bad. I've thrown a few of those, and they hurt. But good touchdowns. Yes.
Yeah, critical distinction. Good point. And that works the same way in soccer. You score a goal. Okay, not an own goal, because those will make you cry. Yeah. Which guy gets the start there? They've got to get something there. You know, there's a whole thought that both those guys are good enough to be in MLS, but that neither guy is going to produce at the rate you need to be a starter for one of the elite teams in the league. And so in that case, I mean, it falls on the players because they got to get it done. And then it falls on the coach. But at some point, it's got to fall on the front office and the ownership to identify and then sign somebody. And where soccer is different than every other sport is that it's international. It's a global market. And so people who have been really successful in the league for a long time have said, if you want to sign a guy, you would better identify and chase 4 of them, because so many things can happen. There's middlemen, there's agents that can mess up a deal. Teams with more money from all over the world can swoop in. Somebody might want to be closer to home. They might want to be further from home. It's the wild, wild west. I mean, at least the NFL and NBA free agency have some rules. There's some parameters. When you're talking a global game, there's no telling.
Yeah.
This is a sport that's just rife with stories about kickbacks and all that. So if you identify a guy and chase one guy, you're naive. Chase four, evaluate four that will work for you. Chase them all, and then you have a chance to get one of them. Craig Weibel, former GM for Arcel, now running the show in Seattle because Garth Lagerwey left for Atlanta. Craig Weibel said that on TV, looking right into a camera. I said, I'm getting the impression it's the Wild West. And he's like, no, it's the Wild, Wild West. All the stories you hear could be true. I mean, they aren't all. But if you hear about, there was an agent, there was a middleman, somebody got a kickback, there was a payoff, it might not be true in that specific case, but it absolutely happens in the industry.
Pablo Mastroianni, the manager, obviously, you know, there was a lot. I rewatched the match because I got myself into Apple TV and I was like, you know what? I've got it. Let's do it. And I went back and I was watching some of his, and just the hand on the underneath the chin, you know, just, I mean, it's like they've got things that they've done that they've been trying and it isn't working, and the frustration level is there probably for everybody. What's he got to do then? So when they sit down, and it's different from, you know, obviously soccer is different from a lot of other sports, how much of it is the coaching versus not just – we look at other sports and go, man, these guys have to perform, but what's Pablo doing? Because I know you're going to have a phone call with him in a few minutes probably here, and what do you expect, you know, the discussion is going to be there on how they're going to get ready for Columbus?
I think that he's got multiple things he has to do now. One is there's got to be a clear plan going in, and he has said this before. Actually, I think he said this last week on the weekly call you're referring to, is he said this sport is unique because we don't have timeouts. We have very limited substitutions compared to other sports. Really, baseball would be the one, but we don't have the half inning where, you know, at least you can come in and talk to a guy between the third and fourth inning, right? He says, so the plan, everyone's got to know the plan, and everyone's got to have adjustments and see them at the same time. Because inevitably, whatever you plan for, if it's really successful, the other team's going to change what they're doing. So everyone's got to have that going in. So I think on every manager and on Pablo, that's, you know, you got to have the plan this week, and you got to know what their likely adjustments are and how you're going to answer. Because if you don't, you can finally get that first goal, and they haven't scored first in any of their four games yet. They conceded first every time. But even if you get that first goal, even if you get up too early, that can be dangerous because there's plenty of time for them to come back at home. So you got to be prepared for how they might adapt. So that's one. I think two, he's got to set the atmosphere that is realistic and positive. And that can be a narrow you know, the kind of eye of the needle, the thread here. If you're not realistic, you're going to keep making the same mistakes. But you can't just be negative and beat people down because it takes so much energy to run for 90 minutes in the sport. And if you don't, it'll show up. And so you got to go in with a certain amount of positivity and confidence. You can't just scream at them all week. That's not productive.
Yeah.
So how are you realistic? And then I think the other thing he's got to do, and you got to be cold-blooded about this, you may like a lot of guys, but that whole energy running thing, and when he's got that pose you're talking about, sometimes we can guess based on what's going on, what he's thinking, and sometimes we have no idea.
Sure.
But there's a plan. And if someone doesn't execute the plan, it's on video in every sport. Football, basketball, soccer, whatever. If you don't execute the plan, it's on video. Who doesn't execute the plan? Who isn't given 100%? If you drop your head and you only give 80%, if you go to Columbus and give 80%, you're going to get beat. You're going to. You know, so I think he's got to identify those guys and make changes in the starting lineup or make changes in the substitution pattern based on whether he thinks he's getting 100% from guys.
You can't
drop your head when it gets bad.
When you have a sport like soccer, and it's a great point where there are no timeouts, there's not a lot of adjustment happening. How long typically should you expect a team to have to – because there's got to be a lot of on-the-field communication, reading body language, you know, getting familiar with players. How long does that typically take a team to get that kind of chemistry where they're kind of clicking on all cylinders?
Pablo is a big, big believer that you've got to be there for preseason, that's when that is established. Hmm. If I had a dollar for every time I've heard him say that in the last 12 months, I would have several hundred dollars. he says it all the time. That is set in the preseason. And to your point, you want to run and press, and you want to – nothing breaks somebody down than being under pressure all over the field. But you can't expect your guys to run, so you've got to pick the time. When is it on? And it's totally counterintuitive, but the defense starts with the nine, the attacking guy. They're playing out of the back. When that guy thinks this is a good time to press and go, everybody has to go with him. If he sprints 25 yards to put pressure on the ball and the other guys don't go, well, then there's going to be an easy pass. Everyone's got to go and take away all the easy passes. And so if you're not moving as a unit, so everyone has to go when that first player goes, and they really have to anticipate it. I see it. I think it's on. It is on. Boom. And everybody goes together. You know, so you got to build that up with all those reps. The guys who missed camp last year largely didn't have a good year. And Pablo consistently said, it's not that he's a bad guy. And it's not that in June and July, he's not giving it his all, but he got so far behind. Now we don't have time.
Right.
And we can't just practice more because he needs to practice with the guys he's going to play with. But I can't practice those guys hard because they got to play. And so we got to stay on one schedule for them. We don't have extra time for the whole group to go back and bring this guy up to speed. So for him, it's a preseason thing. And they did largely have the team together in preseason, and it did go well in the preseason games. And now it's not going well, you know, with three straight losses. And Justin, soccer 13 years. He says so often, everyone knows, especially the vets, but everyone knows the preseason games aren't real. If you make a mistake, the penalty isn't that high because you only lost a preseason game. It's just not the same, and you get this false sense of confidence if you win a lot. Well, they won a lot in the preseason. Right. Miriam would rather drop a few preseason games and have everyone come in with a little bit of an edge, like, we really got to tighten it up. It matters now.
Well,
so you can play those head games with yourself forever.
I was looking at this, too, because I remember last year, and it was probably around this time, that they lost to New York FC 6-0. 6-0. You remember this?
That was
it
was a good like time.
And it was
it
was a month, DJ, of winless matches, right? In the very middle of it was this 6-0 loss at New York, and then you go, okay, this team's like, pack it up. This is a disaster. And this team ends up in the playoffs and make a little run. It's a long season.
Yeah.
And so I think that if people are reminded, like, hey, there were some dark, probably even darker times last season, and they made it to the playoffs, got in that seventh spot. And so the sky's not falling yet. So
Miriam said that Monday when I was talking to him about this. And he cited that exact, he didn't bring up the Yankee Stadium disaster, but he did cite that stretch where nothing went right. He says, last year, we did get off to a good start, and we had it going. And then we hit a super flat spot, but then we came back and got to the playoffs anyway. He said, it's a long season. This happens. He says, but we can't just say, oh, it happens, and jog out there for the next game. He says, you got to stop the valleys, you know, as quickly as you can. You got to get back on track because you're giving up points. And everyone's going to give up points at some point, so just don't give up a bunch of them, you know?
Real Salt Lake headed to Columbus, taking on the Crew. It's a Saturday kick, of course. You're going to get a 4:30 pregame right here on DKSL Sports Zone, and then you're going to get, of course, David on the call starting at 5:30. DJ, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for hanging out with us. And I know you've got stuff going on here, so thanks for hanging out for these moments.
No worries. And, Scott, just keep throwing the ball to the right team, okay? Keep throwing the ball to the right team.
I'd still
That's
be
a
playing.
Good life lesson
I'd
right
still
there.
Be playing if
That's
I did
a good
that.
Life lesson. DJ.
Oh, look at you. Tom Brady, man. Tom Brady's got nothing at 45. He's got to be playing long past 45.
I love it. All right. DJ, appreciate it, man. Right. We'll chat with you again.
See you.
There you go. It's tough to be calling those games, too, in the middle of it, right? When you're like, oof. Like, when it was 3-0 the other night, like you could hear it. It was just like, oh, boy. And then when they scored that fourth goal, it was like, all right. Well, talk to you guys later. Like, we can dip out as fans, you know what I mean? Like,
so 4-0 is like, that's bad, right?
What would the equivalent be? It'd be like a...
I think I asked that question.
It's like a 41-3 type game.
It's a,
you know?
Yeah.
I'd say zero, but like sometimes it doesn't necessarily... I mean, there's no version of a field goal in soccer, and so there were some moments where they were attacking, so I'd say 41-3. 6-0 is like the Oregon loss to Georgia last year.
Mm.
You know what I mean? No. It's a TCU loss in the national championship game. It got out of hand real quick. All right. Let's take a break. We will come back. We have our What Are the Odds around the corner. Appreciate DJ taking some time out. And, man, it's been an hour of chatting with all of our coworkers, man.
Get some more guys on.
Yeah, man. Let's go. All right, we'll take the break here. We'll come back. When we do, tons to talk about here still. Man, ReMedical is Utah's only physician-owned and operated wellness clinic that deals with ED. It's not a fun topic to talk about, but ReMedical wants to help it help you, and they want to give you that treatment discreetly, and with that that doctor's direction. So ReMedical.com is the website. That's ReMedical.com. We'll take the break. We'll come back. More to go. Stay with us. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
What are the odds?
Okay, sir, the bet is to you.
All in, baby! You'll know exactly. More or less. What's going to happen? This is 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 EKSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. I'm not going to dog you for the ice in the cup, you know what I mean? I've made that mistake too many times myself.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. By the way, speaking of ice, let's go to the ice cream topic. They just refilled the Fat Boy freezer, so I'm going to avoid going that. So there's two ways to get to the studio. I'm going to avoid going that direction.
It's a good plan.
Because they even put the cone ones. You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
And the nut sundae. Whoa. Yep. Get out of here, Fat Boy ice cream. I don't need you in my life. I'm trying to listen. People go, oh, when you do the soda, when you do the soda weight loss thing, is it like, don't you get mad when you can't have, you know, those treats and stuff? And I go, listen, I've had a lifetime of, had more treats than you could ever have. Like, so that's the point. When you get a big old butt like mine, the reason you get it is because you had
You know who Ron White is?
Yes.
Tater Salad?
Yes.
He's been sober for 16 months now.
Oh, I was going to say, don't say years because he's doing
that 16
fake,
months. And he goes, look, he goes, I've had enough drinks for a lifetime.
Yeah,
so I've had enough.
I have said that same argument about myself and the food situation. So there you go. By the way, in case you didn't know, the G League has got their playoffs going on. So the Blue Coats are currently leading the Go-Go. Where are the Go-Go's located?
Las Vegas?
I mean, I thought that. I thought that myself.
Atlantic City?
Mac McClung, remember him? Dunk champion?
Yeah.
He plays for the Blue Coats. So. Yeah. Oh, they're the D.C. Go-Go? Oh, the Capital City Go-Go. What are they known for? Is Washington, D.C. known for go-go dancers? I was with Scott. I would have gone with Atlantic City. So sue me for not knowing all the other G League teams besides
The Blue Coats, are they from Boston, maybe?
No, I think Philadelphia, right?
Oh, Philadelphia, because that's right.
All right. So here's the deal. But it's always like a different city in like near the big city. So here's what we got. We got a what are the odds. I give you a scenario, Scott. You give me a 0 to 100% chance that thing will or will not happen. I've got a couple here for you. Speaking of Philly. What are the odds Joel Embiid wins the MVP this season in the NBA? I don't buy into that idea that he didn't do himself any favors by not taking on Nikola Jokic. It's a long season, and when you're the leading scorer in the entire league for like the third year in a row, I don't know if that necessarily just gives it to him, but because I think Nikola Jokic's numbers speak for themselves, but. So what do you think? It's basically between he and the Joker.
There kind of comes a point when they go, we need to spread this around a little bit. You know, it's just like Rudy Gobert being the defensive player of the year. Maybe he deserves it. Maybe he doesn't. But either way, he's probably not going to get it at third.
You don't
year.
Think?
No. So I think Joel Embiid. I think there's a high probability. Joel Embiid.
What do you give me?
I'll give you. I'm going to call it. I'll just go Jerry Rice 80%.
So it's coming down to they say this is the closest MVP race than they've probably had in years, and I'm glad. I like it when it's close. You don't want to have the same people winning this thing. I'm going to go with formerly Mie One 81% chance. He's not passed away, but
wow.
But you don't get a lot of 80s, you know, for this Jazz team.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go 90s.
A lot of 80s for, yeah. So we were about the same.
Dude. Yeah. Scott, what are the odds that that the Jets make the playoffs next year? Now, the reason I'm asking this is because with the Sacramento Kings breaking the streak since 2006, by the way, this is the last time they made the playoffs was 2006. I had just started here at KSL in 2006, the last time they made the playoffs. Can you believe that?
Yeah, that doesn't – yeah, when you're your age, that seems like a lot. But mine, it's like 2006.
That's almost 18 years, dude.
Yeah, it's not that long.
Come on.
I'll say it's actually pretty high.
Because the Jets are the next – what I'm saying is the Jets are the next longest professional team to not make the playoffs. When was the last time they made it, Jer? 2010?
With the Jets?
Yeah. 12 years, so 11. 10, 11. Okay.
Yeah.
Butt fumble?
I don't think it's that far. I don't think it's that far out of the realm the Jets will make the playoffs.
If they have
Aaron Rodgers is there.
If they have Aaron Rodgers, they might go to the AFC Championship.
I'll go Johnny Morton. 87% chance they'll make the playoffs. That's high.
I'm going to give it a Let me see. I'm trying to think of I'm going to give it a Wayne Krabet. Is he 80?
Yeah.
Wayne Krabet, 80% chance.
Yeah, I was going to go with Wayne Krabet, actually.
Wayne Krabet. He's like a
Jets player.
I liked Wayne Krabet when he was the guy. All right. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We've got more to talk about. Hey, by the way, around the corner, Rudy Gobert and the things he said about the NBA. Is he going to get fined for this? Do we know if he's gotten fined? He's talking about the obvious attempts, according to him, for the league to basically drum up how they want the playoffs to go. So we'll have that next. It's never a good look to complain about why you're not in the playoffs because everybody else is conspiring against you. We'll talk about that and much more. Stay right here with us. By the way, Ethan Millard, our buddy from Teton Wealth, my former radio partner, going to join us live in studio next Tuesday to help you with your retirement plan. So tune in, visit retireteton.com. That's retireteton.com. More to go. Stay with us, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. It is Unrivaled, 97.5 VKSL Sports Zone. Thanks for being with us. Lots going on a Thursday. We're going to be at the warehouse for a short show tomorrow. Clayton's going to hang out with us and throw out some amazing deals to try to outdo his dad's own deals. But we'll only be there till 4:30, thanks to Jazz starting up their pregame at 4:30. So join us at the warehouse for a short time tomorrow. Right here on the station, also 1825 South, 300 West. That's where we'll be. Scott, should we kick off the hour with the cut? We didn't get to play the old music last hour, but we just had so many dang things going on.
Let's do it.
Let's hit the cut. Let's get going on this program.
There we go. The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
All right, the cut presented by G2G Bars, all natural ingredients, no preservatives. G2G Bars, plenty of protein, preservative-free, additive-free. You've heard us talking about how great these are. You've got to give them a shot yourself. G2G Bar tastes fantastic. You don't want a protein bar to taste like garbage. So get the G2G Bar. Costco, Associated Foods, Maverick Holiday Oil, and all in the refrigerated section. So there you go. Scott, let me ask you something.
Please.
When you're in the NFL, did they have conversations about you cannot bring up anything about, like, you knew that if you criticize referees, things like that, there was a fine attached. Was there when you were playing, like, if you said, yeah, the ref sucked today, would you get hit with the $10,000 or $15,000 fine? Or it's probably a lot less back then. But what was the deal? How did they school you on the way that you talk to the media about referees, about the league? What did they tell you guys? What was the wisdom?
Well, the wisdom in the NFL and the first conversation you have, which I think was a shock to me, was the media is your partner and your friend. Now, when you're in college, it's like, be careful what you say to the media. Be careful what you say.
You They're know, all trying to get you.
And it wasn't that they were adversarial, but it was just, you know. And it's like, no, you're going to talk to the media. Because they're what make our game popular. So the rules, the you know, kind of the strategy of the NFL isn't necessarily like, you know, let's go out and play and may the best team win. It's like, how do we grow our brand? How do we build our business of the NFL? And it really, you know, Gene Upshaw said, this league is built on stars. So how do we promote stars? So, you know, stars are in big cities, stars are big name players, and that's where everything goes from. So, you know, listening to Rudy Gobert, I think this is where you're going with this.
Yes.
Listening to him coming from a place like Minnesota, you know, I always kind of go, there might be a little bit of truth to this. They start a production meeting about a game that's going to happen, right? So they're going to have a game, and they go, what's the storyline? How do we promote the biggest, best storyline? How do we create the largest audience, the greatest interest in this game? And it's, you know, and unfortunately, Minnesota is not usually one of the places that people go.
Okay, so this
let's start with Minnesota.
Right. So okay? That's
I just don't.
Well, but you know, I mean, I think about
and I think it's in every sport. I don't think this is fully, you know, it's not full on conspiracy theory as much as it is. It's more a business practice.
Well,
than
and it's
it is.
And it's a no brainer too when you go, hey, guess what? The league would probably prefer just from an X's and O's, a numbers standpoint of like just being, you know, honest with themselves. Like, hey, I mean, think about the finals ratings that they've had in the recent past. I mean, anybody, you think about the way TV sports are going now, live TV sports, it's just not the same. When they try to go, it's the lowest since blah, 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 and you go, yeah, but you know what? There also weren't 1,000 things for me to watch when I was, 15 years ago. Compared to you know the Super Bowl now or whatever. So Rudy Gobert says it's just so obvious. Quote: this is what we're basing everything off of, right? As a basketball player that's been in this league for so long, it's disrespectful and it sucks. To be honest, we work so hard to be in a position to compete with the best, and we just get manipulated into those situations where it just impacts the game for the other team too much. What he's talking about is the playoffs being basically drummed up by the league to where a market like Minnesota isn't going to take part. Unfortunately, it's sad, but it's good also. It's really good. I don't know why he just said that. It's bad, but it's good. He said, we understand that we're not the biggest of the markets, but we're a team that I think you want to see, in the playoffs. You want to see, they said they want to see Kevin Durant. You want to see Steph Curry. You want to see LeBron James. Does the NBA want superstars? That's the question. And in a team like Minnesota, are they trying actively to figure out a way? The answer is no. Because for as much as I have conspiracy theory stuff about this, I don't think that the NBA – and this, and you know what this is too, Rudy? Unfortunately, this comes across as being a giant baby. Right when you go,
I don't necessarily agree with that.
1,000% that's what's happening.
I actually don't agree with it.
This is the loser's mantra. Well, because no one wants us to win. That is the loser's mantra.
I think Rudy Gobert is a guy who consistently has spoke his mind, and it may not be what you want to hear, but look, every league is about superstars. There's no question that they want to see all those players that he just listed. There's no question about it. Does the league manipulate that? No, because what happens is these players play great, right? So the only way Minnesota becomes relevant is if they win championships. Now, do they have to win a championship? No, they got to win multiple. Because you think of San Antonio, but people don't want San Antonio to win. And Greg Popovich and Tim Duncan and the Admiral and Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker and all those guys, guess what they had to do? They had to win a lot of championships before they actually got.
Yep.
So if you're a small market, you're going to have to do more. But you can't just be, oh, yeah, we're really good basketball players, because people in the NBA don't go, man, I want to go see Rudy Gobert. People don't do that. As great as he was here for the Jazz, and now Jazz fans might feel that way about him, But a national audience isn't going to sit there and go, man, I want to watch Rudy Gobert play in the playoffs. Carl Anthony Towns is a potential superstar talent. Anthony Edwards is the same thing. They've got players. They certainly have parts to that team that could really, you know, do something. But you got to do it. I know Golden State's in San Francisco, but it used to be in Oakland. I don't necessarily think folks were going, oh yeah, this Golden State Warriors team is just, you know, they got it going on. I mean, it took a hot minute before people bought into Steph Curry and what was happening at Golden State.
Yeah, yeah.
The unfortunate thing, or fortunate thing, if you want to say what Rudy Gobert said, the NBA really exploded like as a popular sport when Larry Bird went to Boston and Magic went to the Lakers.
See, I just
and then so TV became relevant.
Yes.
But then it was Michael Jordan. And Michael Jordan in Chicago, one of the largest, I mean, Michael Jordan
Second City, man.
Just sent, you know, the NBA to a whole nother place. And then you're always looking in Los Angeles, how do we get good players in Los Angeles? And does the league manipulate, you know, how do you end up with Kobe Bryant? And how do you end up with Shaquille Shaq, O'Neal? Yeah, and how do you end up with LeBron? I mean, you know, somehow, some way, the league goes, we got to be able to get our stars in those big markets.
Well, and the Knicks, think of the Knicks, right? It's just like a team that everybody is constantly looking at and going, do something, you know, poking them with the stick. You have everything imaginable. You have a brand that is in the Big Apple, you know. And for as much as you go, yeah, the Brooklyn Nets, man, is like, yeah, but if the Knicks go, then the league is, you know, in a good spot. When the Knicks are doing well, I think about those battles that, you know, I think of those John Starks, you know, Patrick Ewing, Charles Oakley, you know, Knicks teams that were taking on MJ in those mid '90s battles, you know, and you go, man, when the Knicks are doing well, everybody loves New York, man. Everybody loves what they're doing, and I get it. But Rudy, when you just go, well, it's because the league doesn't want us to do well. BS, man. The amount of money that franchise is paying to get the best of the best of the best, and the league isn't going, no, you can't have that. Like, the amount of money they paid for Rudy, the amount of money that they're paying for Kat, the amount of just, like, think about the attention that they got in the offseason when they're trying to make these moves to try to be a playoff contender right now. So when Rudy comes out and says that, it just is, to me, it's a loser mentality of, yeah, nobody wants us to win. That's why we're not winning. And I get it. I mean, he's frustrated because he went from, you know, thinking that going from a place that he liked to be to going to a place where he thought it was going to be that he was going to have success after having kind of that disappointment of the locker room situation, right, of the last couple of years. And so I get why he's grumpy about it, but I'll be surprised. And I don't know. I feel like he's going to get – I don't know if it's going to get fined because he kind of danced around it a little bit. But he's like saying, well, the league wants the superstars in the game. It's one thing to say, yeah, man, superstars get superstar treatment. This is more like the entire league doesn't want middle of the road or mid-sized markets, which include us, by the way. They don't want you to do well. And I just don't – maybe it's because I just don't want to believe it. But it's wild.
I mean, part of the challenge – that you have if you're a team like Minnesota or you're a team like Utah, these players today go, look, I really want to be in one of those bigger markets if I'm a big name player. As challenging as it's been for Los Angeles, the Lakers this year, LeBron James is just always the discussion, you know, and you're going to be in those big markets and you're going to be a big name player. You're always going to be in the discussion, even if your team, you know, if your team's losing, why are they losing? Are they, you know, they coming back, you know, and all the verbiage out there and all the talk today is, hey, Watch out for the Lakers. Boy, if the Lakers get in the playoffs, watch out for the Lakers. Look for the Lakers. The Lakers are trying not to be a play-in team. You know, no one's talking about the Sacramento. Watch out for Sacramento Kings. I wouldn't want to play Sacramento Kings in the playoffs. No one's talking about teams like that. They're just not. And that, like, you're never going to change that because it's a business. And the business is about how do you market your product, and you market it with your superstars. End of discussion. And it's every league, and it's never going to change. And so if you're Rudy Gobert, you're right, Rudy. You're 100% right, but there's nothing you're going to do to change it except for win championships.
Win games. Come on. That's the thing, is that the league can't have this image of we don't want other or that it's impossible for these other markets. Like, they rely – these are other franchises who are part of this massive NBA – the NFL has middle markets winning all the time, and guess what happens? It's still good for the game. Kansas City is not the freaking biggest market that's out there. It's in the middle of America. It's a team that historically has never been something that's, you know, going to be a dynasty, and now here we are. So just freaking win. Just draft well and win. So when Rudy goes, yeah, look, it's such a competitive league. And I agree, the West is insane. Between even the Jazz, where they're at right now, they are two and a half games out of the seven seed, which, by the way, where the Timberwolves are. The Timberwolves are 39-38. There's a 38-38 Lakers team. There's a 38-38 Pelicans team. There's a 38-39 Thunder team. It is very competitive between 4 and 11.
All right, let me ask you this question. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're an NBA fan, right?
I love watching basketball.
Okay. And you're kind of a Utah Jazz fan, but you're a transplant to Utah, so it's not.
Okay. So I appreciate you. Appreciate you just throwing that.
No, but you're a basketball fan.
I'm a basketball fan.
My
you're
point
right.
is that Utah Jazz aren't going to be in the playoffs.
Right.
Right. So
or
what,
they might not be.
What? It's possible they could be. They're only a game and a half out.
Sure. Right?
Which. But let's just talk about. Okay, let's say the Jazz aren't in the playoffs. What team, what player, who do you want to see in the playoffs?
Okay.
Do you care if Rudy Gobert is in the playoffs?
No. No,
you don't care.
Because it's not like Minnesota has suddenly, like, wowed everybody. You know, they're in a place that they're likely going to make the playoffs.
What about Donovan Mitchell? Do you go, man, I'd love to see Donovan Mitchell in the playoffs.
Maybe more so. The reason is not because of any of the ties that they had here earlier or anything. Because Donovan is becoming a superstar kind of before our eyes with this, right?
So,
and I don't have any beef against him leaving or being, traded by the Jazz or any of that, any of the ill will that he might have. And the Eastern Conference has 250 or 350 plus win teams. And then the Cavs are right there, and I go, man, the East is so doing what the West kind of usually does.
Do you want to see Giannis? Do you want to
absolutely?
Do you want to see Jason Tatum? Do you want to see? I mean, who,
Boston happens to be the
second.
Do you
want to see Joel Embiid? I mean, is that?
Don't you want to see
those guys and those teams and those players?
Those superstars.
Even if you're a Utah Jazz fan, if you're a fan of basketball, that's what you want to see.
Milwaukee is arguably less important from a market standpoint, or like the T-Wolves in my mind. I look at them and go, Milwaukee and Minnesota, same. Like, same. They're in the same part of the country.
Chicago North.
I get it. Like, it has a little bit more of that metropolitan feel to it, and it's, but I will say, nobody looks at Milwaukee and goes, yeah, that big market teams like the Milwaukee Bucks. No one says that. So what do I want to see in the playoffs? Guess what? I want to see the Warriors and the Clippers, who are currently 5-6 as the league. Just going good, stay in those spots. We want you in the playoffs. We want you fighting in there. Nobody wants to see the Kings typically, but they're doing well this year. You can't deny a team who's been 15 or 17 years or whatever it is without being in the playoffs, and then they have the year that they've had, and they clinch the playoffs. I don't care where you're at. I don't want to hear it's because everybody's conspiring against us. You know, the Trailblazers, it's Portland. Portland's not anything special in terms of a city size. It's comparable to Utah in that sense. And so think about the middle market team like the San Antonio Spurs, who have been a dynasty before in this league. So it can be done, Rudy, and no one's trying to take it personally at you. And I get it. You haven't had the year you've wanted. I get it. But don't put it on the league for manipulating this thing. And don't say the word manipulate, because then you're going to get, I don't know, I could see him getting fined.
Now, I think the league does manipulate it. I don't think.
How so?
I think how fouls are called, how the game is called.
I think refs are biased, but I don't think it has anything to do with the market size or the league saying you better put this guy in the playoffs.
I wouldn't be surprised if schedules come out in favor of certain teams throughout the year.
Call me hopeful that even in a league where referees have been hit before with betting on the games that they're covering and likely manipulating those outcomes for their own personal gain, I choose to think that the league itself goes, figure it out. You've got caps to deal with. You've got soft caps to deal with. You've got luxury taxes to deal with. And you better figure it out. And if you can do it, good luck. Awesome. Great. Good for you.
There's no way you can tell me that an official who's a human being, probably really loves sports.
The answer is yes. I already know.
Probably loves basketball.
Absolutely.
They go, tonight we have the Lakers and we have the Minnesota Timberwolves. And you know what their first thought is? We're going to call a LeBron game.
No.
100%. No. Meaning I'm calling a game in the NBA and I'm calling a LeBron game. Meaning there's a star factor in this. And they don't sit there and go, I'm calling a Gobert game. Right? And so whether the league says something to them or not,
nah, man.
In their mind, as a human being, as a fan of sports, I know I would be.
Call me a dumb optimist. I just hope that that's not the case.
There's no way it's not the case. And it whether the league kind of says, look, here's how you need to call this game, or the referee, just as their human nature going, man, I'm calling LeBron tonight. This is going to be exciting. It's there. These are human beings. There's going to be that human bias to it. It's just impossible not to be.
All right. I choose that to believe. I'm going to live in my own.
I choose to bury my head in the sand.
You know what? If it makes me feel like the sports are more competitive that way, then there you go.
If you do that,
I'm all about it, man. I'm all about it. Okay. Here's what we've got. A break. Get a break from this thing. Let's come back. We will chat a little bit more around the corner. I've got some stuff to bring up. We haven't even talked about this Utah Jazz team, by the way, and what's going on. But I do have this NFL conundrum, which is I want to see more NFL. I want to see the NFL expand. I want to see it get bigger. Would a European division, not a team, a European division, could that actually work in the future for the NFL? Stay with us. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented baby, baby, by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, welcome back. It is Unrivaled 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, former President Donald Trump was just indicted. First president, mm-hmm. I believe, this has ever happened to, apparently for hush money.
Hush puppies, those are good.
I know. I wonder how much money would you take?
For a hush puppy?
No.
Not much. I'd
no, for hush
for
money.
Free.
So like if I came on the show and I said, how much if I could just keep you hushed? Like
what's that about? Because if it's like, hey man, you better shut up. Don't tell anybody I ate that ice cream sandwich.
I'm just talking in general. You know.
Yeah, I'm give me
how much could you be bought for?
But that's the thing, is like, what am I hushing about you? Am I hushing about myself?
Just hushing.
Okay.
Like,
if you're paying me hush money.
Yeah.
To hush about you.
No, just a hush.
Just a hush in general. Yeah. Well, I have to think, like, because there's a lot of people who probably
would
want me to
hush. Is that possible?
No.
No.
I talk for a living, Scott. Why would I hush for anybody?
I know, but maybe I could get you to talk less.
Sorry, did you say hush puppies?
Hush.
I don't know what we're talking about.
I just
are we talking about Stormy Daniels?
No, I'm talking
about...
That
doesn't come up much on this show.
I'm talking about how much...
Jeremy's
uncomfortable. I could pay you to talk less.
Six figures.
Six figures?
Yeah, somewhere.
Is that like six figures with a decimal point and two
how
zeros?
How long? No. How long?
Okay, I can get with that.
Okay. I want your NFL pension for me to shut up.
Done.
I will take it. I'm not kidding. I'll walk out right now if you transfer it over to me, your NFL pension. Okay?
I think I can have a beneficiary. You'd be my beneficiary. It's possible I could do
if
that.
Scott just puts down on the thing, I bequeath to Unrivaled the radio program for Jeremy and Alex to split my pension. And I'm like... Scott has survived by his radio show. Put Jeremy and Alex in parentheses. All right.
Let's do it.
I'll hush up right now. Ooh, but hush puppies are underrated. You know what a hush puppy is, right, Jer?
You get the right kind of hush puppies. Yeah. You really have
they gotta
something.
They got to be more on the sweet side, but don't forget about the savory, too.
And if you can get a special butter with them that, you know, a really good flavored butter.
Soy loco por los cornballs. That's a little Arrested Development reference there. All right. Where are we? Oh, for now, I'm not hushed, though, right? For now, I'm not hushed.
No.
I don't want to be hushed, especially for this segment, because I... okay, here, in order of things that I like to watch the most, college football 1, NFL 2.
F1.
No, F1 is a side gig, man. New podcast went up, by the way.
It went up?
Yeah, it went up.
Went up or down? What does that mean?
No, I mean, I'm saying it's up now. You can listen to it.
Oh, you can actually listen to it. Oh.
I do not hush.
What the heck have you been doing with it forever?
No.
You finally,
it's up.
Oh.
It's up.
Get all the bugs worked out.
But see, that's the thing is like I dedicate more time.
Euro League soccer? Is that?
No.
Is that a thing?
No, I don't watch that. I don't. I mean, I can watch some EPL. I can get involved in some English Premier League. But it goes... College football, NFL, and then NBA's right there. Probably right behind the NFL.
Hey, pickleball's the fastest growing sport in America.
Thanks. Boy, you and I both watch the same shows on Apple TV. Oh, so The Shrinking is a great show. Jeremy, you'd love it. Have you seen it yet?
I want to. I have not yet.
Please start it. Yeah. Please start it. Wholesome-ish, which I think is like if a show is kind of wholesome, I kind of like it.
It has a good message.
Yes, and, overall.
Very well written.
It's human. Anyway, bottom line is this.
They swear like sailors.
Yeah, I got to settle down for that. Yeah. I've turned a new leaf.
Okay, I want to get back
so
to...
So I want to go back to this. The NFL is... there is an unnamed NFL owner, and we've heard this talked about before.
Yeah, but what if it's Daniel Snyder?
Then we don't believe him. But this owner believes that there is going to be an NFL division eventually. Two London teams and two Germany teams. Can we not joke around? And when you say unnamed, we're talking about Shad Khan, right?
Right.
We're talking about the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, who basically is like a foot in London half of the year anyway. So
is Walmart international or just in the U.S.?
I mean, it's everywhere, but it's an American family. I mean,
I know they have it in like
no, they have
like
it everywhere.
Panama.
They have it, everywhere. It was the only place in Argentina where we could get peanut butter. That's where you went to the Gualmarc. That's what people like. Gualmarc. So can the NFL support a four-team division? I'm talking about AFC East, NFC East, AFC Way East. I don't know what we're talking about here.
Well, so, you have two divisions. So there's the NFC and the AFC.
Those are conferences, yeah.
And you'd have two teams from each conference? Do you have divisions? Is it a division of the two conferences, or is it a new conference all in and of itself?
See, I think they'd have to work that out, because if you're going to do it, the two London teams, or maybe you make one London team and one German team the NFC, and you make one London team and one German team the AFC. Either way, I'll just tell you this. I do not want watered-down competition. I'm not saying European competition. I'm saying from an expansion standpoint, if you added four teams, I think we could maybe try to pull off a London franchise for a minute, But Scott, you played in the World League. You saw how nuts the fans are there in Europe. I'm not disagreeing with the fact that the NFL Europe that came out of that, the Rhine Fire, et cetera, the Barcelona Dragons, I'm okay with those teams popping up. What I'm saying is that you cannot support four teams expanding in the NFL. You will likely water down the talent pool, and the NFL has to be very careful.
I don't know that I agree with that.
Where do you suddenly get enough talent for four teams?
You have Chase Daniel, who's sitting on the bench.
Hey, Lamar Jackson and Cam Newton are ready right now.
Yeah, there are guys that could extend careers. I mean, there's plenty of players that get up there in the 7, 8, 9 years in their career who could still play and play very well in the NFL. I don't think the talent level, and if it's just four teams, you know, you're really going to do it. But what you're also going to bring along with it, very little talent is being developed in other parts of the world. Now, you've seen punters come from Australia, and they play Australian rules football. And, of course, you have rugby, and there's a lot of carryover with those sports. Quite frankly, I think there's significant carryover with soccer. Just the foot development that these players get from playing soccer definitely translates into football, and you don't have players.
Did you just try to explain to me that the way we're going to get more talent in the NFL in the European division is you can get more soccer players playing football?
What I'm saying
is not the answer.
No, it is the answer, because you don't have to. You only have four teams, and you've got a massive population base that just hasn't. And the NFL actually has developmental programs in younger ages over in Europe. So there are people at a younger age that are being introduced to the sport of football, and you just have to find. I'm not saying you're gonna feed these teams, but you're gonna start an interest with these younger players who are homegrown. You know, they didn't think there were basketball players that were going to come from Africa either, and look at even Europe for that matter. And all of a sudden, you look at these Eastern European countries and other places that are now some of the best players in the NBA are coming out of these programs.
Okay, so you played in Europe when you were in the World League. You played some of these European teams. What was the talent like? I mean, because they were all
talent from America.
States. I know. Yeah. And
this has been, 1992. I mean, it's been 30 years ago.
So are we talking about?
But I will tell you, in 1992.
Would you need to have a couple of guys from Europe on a team?
I don't think that needs to be a requisite. But I think if you're going to have teams professionally, you're going to start to gain interest from people. They're going to go, man, I want to be one of those players when I grow up. And having an ability to develop younger talent definitely has to be in the plans of the NFL. And it's a virgin ground. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity potentially that could be there. It's really kind of where the NFL needs to expand, just seeing what kind of interest there is in sports around the world that the NFL has no market in. Like, they don't capture in it. I mean, baseball captures markets in other countries, and they have this showcase that they just put on, and basketball's capturing other parts, and of course, tennis and golf and a lot of sports have a big audience around the world, and football, American football, is just in America and maybe Canada, but you don't see it in Mexico. You see baseball, and you see soccer, and you see...
I don't want to just have a division. Like, are they talking about 50 years in the future? We're going to see the NFL get so popular across the world. I guess what I'm saying is when you have four NFL teams in Europe, if you were to have that, an NFL division, you're talking about trying to figure out you would keep a couple of teams here month or two, and you'd have the other teams over there.
Yeah.
You'd have some teams traveling and maybe playing a couple teams over there in Europe for a couple of weeks. I know that they could probably figure it out, but I'm not sure.
How it starts, Alex, I don't care. Have four teams. Whatever. And how it starts is one thing. I mean, the Seattle Seahawks were an expansion team at one time, and now they're a staple of the NFL. Just get it started is what I'm saying. Because, I mean, I could ultimately see having two divisions over in Europe they have their playoffs, they have their Super Bowl, and then you have a Super Bowl over here, and then you have a Super Bowl between Europe and the United States. And it's you know, think of the Ryder Cup and how popular an event that is in sports, or the World Cup that you have in soccer. And, you know, it's just very forward thinking to think about this. And there's a whole population base in Europe who's very sports fanatical. And I've seen, I was in Germany in 1992, 48,000 people came to our game, and they all showed up four hours. Every person was at the game 4 hours before the game. Now, they were in the beer gardens and they were all drinking the beer, but the beer got them there. And they stayed.
By the way, beer is also a draw in the United States for these NFL games.
We were beating this team we were killing them at halftime. None of the fans left. They just switched allegiances. So then they started cheering for us in the second half. So they're like,
here are the guidelines to being a sports fan. You don't lose.
Like, you just, whatever team wins, that's your team. And so there is an interest. I really believe that the NFL would not spend the time every year to send multiple teams over there. They just wouldn't do it unless there's something going on.
You know what is funny is I'm watching. I know this is off of this topic, but it's baseball opening day today, and you've got.
Pitch clock.
The pitch clock's new. I mean, they're doing it all spring training, but they're showing these highlights of this pitch clock situation. And they're, one of the Cubs pitchers, Stroman, who had a couple of pitch clock violations, I guess, just whatever you call it. He had a couple of pitch clock violations, like started clapping at the ump when he got a strikeout at one point. Like the umpire made the rules on the strike. He's like, hey, because he called him, and they do this whole thing now. It's all new when they go, whoa, you know, nope, don't pitch it. And then they do the little hand signal on the watch, like, hey, man, pitch clock was violated. It's 1-0. You get a ball, right? It's a ball. And so then he starts talking, like, smack to the umpire, like, yeah, let's go. I just struck him out despite the fact you called me on the pitch clock.
Well, it's too bad that the manager doesn't have the ability to call timeout. You know, the play clock's running down. You just call timeout.
Yeah. What about the thing where they do the – because there's that – and then there's also the element of...
Could you call time? I wonder if you could call time.
The knee has to be...
No, I'm talking about the manager.
No, he can't. No.
Couldn't the manager just say, hey, time?
Yeah, and he could run out, and he could probably run out to the...
Timeout. Hey,
he could,
time.
Yeah, he could go over to the... Not while the guy's in his windup, though. You can't be like, time, because they'll walk out to the mound, and you can't have a bunch of chats on the mound either, you know? You go out to the mound, and then everybody from the infield comes in, and they go, hey, guys, I was just trying to waste some time here so we didn't waste the pitch clock. Sorry, go ahead. But that's the thing is, think about the shot clock, right? Or think about the – because the shot clock is it's like 1.0 or 1.3 seconds left. They wait if the ball's touching that hand and you see the red around the thing. And then in the NFL, you have the play clock go to zeros. And sometimes the ref goes, I'm good. Like, I'm not going to throw it. So which one is it? Are they going to be – because they have to have their knee, what, down or up? By the time the pitch clock is going, they have to be in the full knee up.
Probably in a motion toward, you know.
Yes. So I think it has to be coming down before the clock hits zeros. And so they've been calling it, but I want to see the clock up and I want to see it matched up with the guy, because then I want to make the call too. That's what makes when you're watching games, you'd be like, oh, no, he got it off in time. He got it off in time. All right. And can you review it? That's the other thing. You can review a lot in baseball now, but can you review that? Probably not. All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back. When we return, let's have this conversation. We're going to chat a little bit about the Pac-12 and how that deal is kind of taking a back seat for now. The powers that be are going to be meeting in April, but not like the very, very beginning of April. Their next meeting apparently is April 10th. So what is the movement right now? Apparently nothing. So stay with us. More to go. Men, ReMedical is Utah's only physician-owned and operated wellness clinic offering ED treatments that are discreet, non-invasive, and customized for your needs. ReMedical, renew, restore, reclaim. Visit ReMedical.com. We'll come back. More to go right here on Unrivaled 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keering. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented by G2G Bars. This is 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Oh my gosh, I guess we're breaking news, man.
We're breaking it all day.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Uh-oh, what happened?
Not at fault for the 2016 ski crash on the hill. In fact, she was awarded $1.
Nice.
From the man that was her accuser, saying that, and that was her countersuit. That was her big middle finger to this dude. Let's go, look, I'll just countersue for $1. But guess what? You ran into me, bro. The jury deliberated today and found Gwyneth Paltrow not guilty. You know what? Utah. I look, this Sanderson guy, the former optometrist.
Yeah.
You know, he's talking about how much his health has been, you know, struggling from this since this wreck, which I don't doubt. It's about whether or not she was the one who caused the collision. Now, that's the other thing, right? The jury felt like that she did not. But let me just tell you something. I bet this guy, you talk about, like, that probably took some years off of his life pursuing this thing. You know what I mean? What a dadgum waste.
If you've ever been in a lawsuit and you're even on the right side of it, it's not a fun.
It's not fun. Not it's a long, fun thing to be a part deal. Of. So there you go. Yeah. Not a good look for the state of Utah either, right? Where he's just like, not that it's a total indictment on us. We didn't do anything. Yeah, but like when you call her up and be like, hey, Gwyneth, we're going to need you to show up.
There's a lot of people, celebrities, that call Utah home. Katherine Heigl.
That's all you got, huh?
Post Malone.
Post Malone. Although his house down in St. George up for sale.
The guy from Modern Family.
Yeah, Ty Burrell.
Yeah, Ty Burrell.
Yeah, yeah. He's a local business owner.
Yeah.
So, I love those are the three that we named.
Oh, well, he didn't come to Utah, but.
There's a lot of folks.
What's his name? Marky Marks. He moved to.
Did he?
He moved next door. He moved to Nevada.
Okay. He's like being from Utah. He lives in Nevada.
It touches our state.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard you say. Oh, my gosh. Oh, Marky Mark. He almost made it here. Came up a few hours short, but, you know.
Donnie and Marie, they still have houses here. Come on. They're Utah treasures.
Treasures.
The Osmonds.
It's a pleasure to hear them sing.
They all say they get out of Hollywood, get out of that rat race. It's not a good environment.
Well, there you go.
Well, congratulations,
good job.
Gwyneth.
Good job.
But Pepper you know Potts, what? You when it. The first comment the guy makes is, looks like I'm going to be rich.
Oh, my gosh. Come on, dude. All
right. Yeah. But don't you think some people say that? They have an inner encounter with either a wealthy person or a famous person, and their first thought
is, I just say,
hey,
look, we crashed. Can I get a selfie? That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Hey, thanks. Sorry we crashed into each other. I don't know whose fault it was, but can I take a picture with you? I wouldn't even – like, the thing is on a ski hill. You don't know who your – helmets, goggles, neck gaiters.
You don't know who anyone is.
Who the heck are – yes. How would he have even known? She have Paltrow on the back of her ski jersey? What's going on here? All right. Scott, a little update on the – there's more updates to that than there is to the Pac-12 deal, by the way. Why are we not hearing anything? Look, okay, I'm going to call out everybody right now. Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, get your freaking deal done. Stop dragging me along.
Lamar Jackson,
get a deal done. Let's go.
Gwyneth Paltrow can be found innocent.
Let's get this jury over to
Aaron
mediate
Rodgers
the freaking
the
Lamar Jackson situation. Yes. Let's get Aaron Rodgers to the Jets. We just had the Paltrow thing get wrapped up. Let's get this jury on Lamar Jackson next. Let's get him on Aaron Rodgers next. And you know what else we need to get him on? Can this jury announce the deal for the Pac-12 and their TV situation? Because apparently some of them are going on vacation. Arizona President Robert Robbins. Worst name of all the presidents of the Pac-12, by the way.
Rockin' Robbins.
Robert Robbins is leaving the country for 2 weeks.
Robert Rockin' Robbins.
I'm calling him Rockin' Robbins.
It's a song.
Robert Robbins.
He's
going to Kazakhstan? Oh,
Kazakhstan?
My gosh.
Robert Rockin' Roberts is going to Kakistan.
he's going to Kazakhstan. Hideous. You can't call it Kakistan.
Kakistan. He looks hideous.
Listen, Robert Robbins going to Kazakhstan. I'm assuming they have some Wi-Fi, so get the deal done even with him there. Make the announcement. Maybe they know
something
that we don't.
Does he have to be there in order to get a deal?
No, 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 no. No, I bet the deal's done. And he goes, announce it. I'll be in Kazakhstan.
Hey, electronic signatures actually are legally binding.
Let's get that e-signature sent over. Yeah. Let's get that e-signature sent over. And I always love doing that, by the way. I'm like, oh, they signed my name. They signed my fake name. Nice. I love my fake signature. All right. I'm just saying, the Pac-12 currently has nothing left.
Well, now, so you know when you go to Harmon's or a grocery store and you have to sign your signature?
I get shocked when they do it. They go, oh, we just need your signature. What? Why?
So I do the self-checkout, and I just try to color the whole box in.
Oh, boy, you've got it. That's a waste of time. I go like this.
It's fun. I just scribble along there and color in all the dots.
You're a freaking 10-year-old. And guess what?
It accepts it.
No, of course it does. Because the lady goes, oh, I need your signature. And I like, you know, wipe my thumb across it. And then they're like, thank you. Remember back in the day they used to go, because I used to work retail. And they'd go, first of all, you did like the ka-chunk, ka-chunk on the thing, on the carbon copy. And then they sign the signature. And then you go, can I see that card? And then you look at the signature and go, okay, I guess it's close.
I need another form of identification.
We don't do that anymore. Like, what are we signing the back for? And what's the new move people go? They go, CID. Oh, that's my new level of security. That's my new level of security. I'm going to put CID on the back of the signature card. Get rid of the signatures. We don't need any more. Come on. All right. Did we cover everything there?
Yeah, nothing's happened.
Let's get the jury on that. Let's get the jury deciding whether or not we ever need to sign our credit cards anymore. Just these guys get it done, man. It was like a 10-minute session of them deciding on who won that case. They did it. Because they started deliberating at the beginning of the show, didn't they?
Yeah.
This guy was like, oh, they're deliberating. I was like,
well, the case
awesome.
Was, I don't know, is sent to the jury sometime this afternoon.
Well, either way, short in terms of juries getting together.
All the jurors want to go skiing.
The jurors are going, how stupid was this?
Yeah.
How dumb was this? Kind of fun, though. Good to see you guys.
Actually, where was it? Was the court in Park City?
It was in Park City, yeah. Park City. Summit County.
Park City Municipal.
Summit County. There's some deputy up there.
That was a county court issue.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take a break. Hey, when we come back, Sylvester Stevenson, one of Stevenson Sylvester. Sly's going to join us on the program. I get them all mixed up all the time. Sly's going to join us.
I got a hot take, too.
Sly is, of course, the broadcast partner with Scott during the year.
Yeah, sideline guy.
Sideline. Scott the analyst, Bill Riley with the call on the Utah broadcast. And so we'll have Sly talking to us a little bit about what how Utah stays a favorite in the Pac-12. Can they three-peat? How difficult that could be after we've watched the Utes win back-to-back Pac-12 championships. Plus, if Dalton Kincaid really is one of the best tight ends, not just one of the best tight end may be available in the draft. Stay with us, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
So.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love.
We're not going anywhere. Be right here.
With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
So. All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's Unrivaled 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Thanks for being with us on the program. You can always dial up the station all day long on the KSL Sports Zone with the KSL Sports app. You can also go to kslsports.com or anywhere you find podcasts, you can find our show. Just look up Unrivaled, find our ugly mugs on there, and there you go. I'll speak for myself, Scott. I'm sorry.
Please,
my ugly
speak
mug
for yourself.
And then Scott's full head of hair, and then you'll find the show there. There you go. Joining us on the program right now, we're getting into the cut right here. He is former Ute, Stevenson Sylvester, former professional football player as well, and on the broadcast team for the University of Utah. Let's jump in right here with Sly. Let's do it.
There we go. The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
All right, the cut and our program, as usual, brought to you by G2G Bars, all-natural ingredients, no preservatives, perfect for anybody who needs that quick, tasty, nutritious boost, the G2G Bar, and also Trajan Wealth. TrajanWealth.com is the website. Sly, thanks for being with us on the program, man. What's going on?
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
Oh, we're just...
Wonderful. How are you doing there, Sly? It's good to hear your voice.
My man, Scotty. Season's around the corner, buddy. I don't know about this snow right now, but
I can't wait. I can't wait. Spring game's coming up pretty soon. It'll be a lot of fun.
See, that's what I was saying is that, like, are we fooling ourselves, Sly, into like, oh, spring football matters so much now in 2023? Or is it like really that it does matter a lot more than it has before?
No, I think that, you know, all the hidden stories, it's just a good storyline. I think it's the same as always, Scott. You know, it's people really can't get ready for the season. Football's trying to be 365 to where there's something to talk about every day. But, you know, spring is spring. You know it. You know, mini camps, OTAs from the professional ranks. It's the same thing every day. It's no precedent, but the season. When the season comes, that's when the real noise starts to be made. And I can't wait for it because Utah's coming with it for sure.
When you were a player, what did you get out of, like, spring practice, being a defensive player? And because there was some value for me as a quarterback. I never really thought about this, but was there any value for you, or what was the value?
Yeah, I think the value in the spring, whether, you know, you're at the collegiate level or the professional level, is development. And it really comes into play with the number of year that you are. If you're a 5-year vet, you know, plus or upperclassman in college, yeah, you're not going to see as much value as, you know, me coming in early out of high school, or, you know, me making the jump from my freshman to sophomore year. Is what I tell most kids is that, you know, the biggest change that you need to make is from year one to year two. You know, because year one, you know, you're kind of running with your head cut off, right? You know, you don't really know what's going on. You're trying to find your meeting place. You're trying to find tempo between games and meetings and classrooms to everything else. And in year two, you know all of that, so there should be no excuses to get it done. You know the tempo. You know what practice is going to be like, your experience and all of that. So now you get to really focus on the things that you need to work on. So you need to make the biggest jump from year one to year two. So I think, you know, depending on where you are in that organization is the precedent of how important, you know, these spring trainings are.
I want to talk a little bit about Dalton Kincaid and just how insane it was that, you know, he comes in and you have Brant Keithy who gets hurt, and then they go, hey man, Dalton, we're going to have you do a lot more. And there's something about his game, and not just, you know, the performances obviously speak for themselves, but how is it that a guy in Dalton Kincaid's game matches up to where these teams are going, this guy's going to go maybe the first tight end in the league? What is it that Dalton Kincaid and what the tight end in the game now in the NFL is?
It's that wild card. You know, before it was, you know, NFL or, you know, the professional rankings were looking for the smaller guys who could be the Swiss Army knife, you know, your Percy Harvins, your guys who can run in motions and catch the screens and do all the weird things, your Mohamed Sanu's, you know, your gadget guys. And now it's that body guy who you can, you know, run fly sweeps with, like Brad Keithy, or I can do my wide receiver screens with, or I can line him up and be a big body blocker down on the goal line. And because here, if you put that smaller guy in the goal line formation, you know he's not blocking nobody. As far as if you put Dalton Kincaid down, it's like, yeah, he's going to block for you, so I got to account for the run. And then next, you know, he's going to slip off of that block and be a pass catcher. And so it just puts that much more, you know, angst on the defense to have to stay with their technique and keys. And it just allows you to be so much more flexible in your offense, you know, no matter. And I think that the NFL teams have noticed that. And you know, for me, I thought Dalton Kincaid really reminded me of Tony Gonzalez back in the day. So I know Scott and Alex, you guys both can remember Tony Gonzalez and how important he was to those early Kansas City offenses. And even when he went to Atlanta, you know, just that flex tight end, bringing that different dynamic to the offense and what it is. And I think that's what the tight end position is made up. Now, all of the tight ends in the league that I can think of are extremely versatile, fast, big body, and can catch the football. You know, from back in the day, I mean, the only guys that could do that were like Sterling Sharps or Shannon Sharps or, you know, just a couple guys throughout the league. Now every team has that. a big basketball 6'4 to 6'6 frame that weighs 240 to 260 and can jump out the gym. So it's a new league that we're in, and I think that it's extremely valuable, and that's why I think he's going to go high in the draft.
You mentioned that you're really excited about this year's football team. A lot of returning experience on the defense at every position. What's your assessment of Utah's defense this year and where they are and what they can become?
Man, they're just getting deeper and deeper, right? You know, you got all these guys coming back, as you mentioned, Fione Ibaka, Cole Bishop, and now we got Nate Ritchie coming back in from his mission. So your back end is going to be solid. You know, when Utah football plays great defense, it's because we have a really solid back end. And, you know, with Julian Black and Marcus Williams back in the day, you know, we were really strong. There was just no question back there. And, you know, Cole Bishop going into his third year now, he's going to be extremely versed, extremely experienced, and he's going to be an all-conference and player of the year type candidate going into this year. And you got him at the helm back there. Then you got guys on the end, you know, with Demaya Vaughn, you know, making huge strides, and J.T. Broughton, and now you bring in transfers like Miles Battle. You're just getting strong on your outside in a league where we got so many elite quarterbacks week to week. You know, I know Scott and I, we love calling these games every single week because we could talk about just the dynamic of these offenses because of the quarterbacks that you have to face. And if you get an experience back in like we are going to have going into 2023 season, it just bodes well for us to three-peat this year as Pac-12 champions. And so, you know, at the linebacker position, you know, you got Trenae Reed, who's an incredibly intelligent, crafty, swift player, and he's always going to be in the right spot and get everybody else lined up. And you got the freshman defensive player of the year coming back, and Lander Barton, you know, feeling more and more confident. You know, at the end of the season, you know, he made his statements talking about, I know I got a lot more work to do, but this is an incredible honor to win that player of the year. So you got these young guys who are determined and focused on making sure they set the stage and come with it. And that's prime for great teams. And for me, I always take the staple defense wins championships. And Utah's going to have a great defense next year.
You get the breakdowns also on KSL 5 television on KSL Sports Live from Sly during the football season. It's always fun to see you guys chopping it up and actually looking at the videos and see how, you know, what the film on how these things happen. How much more difficult is it now for Coach Whittingham and what they're trying to do here? Or because they've had a couple of these Pac-12 championships now in a row, not that it's old hat, but you get good at winning championships. But this Pac-12 is freaking ridiculous in terms of how good the quarterback play is going to be this year.
Yeah, I mean, Coach Whittle, he'll give you the same answers he's been giving ever since I was playing under him. You know, it's hard to stay on top. You know, you want to stay on top, but it's extremely hard. Everybody's going to be gunning for you. Everybody's going to know what you're equipped with. Everybody's going to be wanting to knock you off because it's going to set the stage for their team, for their season, I mean. And, you know, Utah's got some lofty goals, man. You know, we've missed on the Rose Bowl this past couple of years, and I believe it's all our fault in both of those games. And so, you know, these guys are needing to focus and step up to win that big game, which is what we're normally accustomed to. You know, since I can remember, anytime Utah was in that big game, we normally came away with the win, and we haven't done that in the Rose Bowl these last couple of years. Granted, we've gotten Pac-12 titles, but we need to take that next step and win in that big game. And I think with the crew on offense and defense that we have this year, there's no better year to do that. And so I think that this is a prime year, 15 years removed from the last undefeated season, that these guys, you know, the way this is set up, they can make some noise. They got early opponents in Baylor and Florida to really set the stage, you know, as far as, you know, take notice of Utah. Then you go straight into conference play, and you got the gauntlet of the Pac-12 conference, right? You know, we make it through that, Pac-12 championship, and then college football playoffs, man. We really have the schedule to set us up to make us, you know, iconic. Make this an iconic year in Utah football and in college sports. And I think that if these guys can come with it, stay focused. I know Morgan Scalley, you got the staff in place to do that. You got Coach Ludwig coming back. Morgan Scalley's still here, being strong, leading these guys every single day. And then you got the main man at the helm, Coach Witt, man. The standard is the standard with him. And I love it. I love it, man. And I think this is a prime year for Utah, and I'm really excited.
How hard is it to come back from an ACL surgery like Cam Rising's having in such a short time? It would literally, if he played the first game against Florida, it would be right around 8 months. Is that a realistic possibility for Cam Rising?
Man, honestly, I've never had an ACL, so I can't speak to it fully. But anything's possible if you've seen what Adrian Peterson did when he tore his. Right? That's anytime I look at an ACL, I'm like, Adrian Peterson must have worked his butt off in the offseason to get back and put together a 2,000-yard rushing season coming off of an ACL surgery in just 8-9 months. And so I think that it's possible. I think Cam is a guy that can do it if there's anybody to do it. You know, for him, I wouldn't rush it back. You know, this team is dynamic. I think we're great. We can last 1 or 2 weeks if he's not totally ready to go. But he's definitely got to be ready to go because it's going to be a long season. And you know, if you miss the first couple games, it's not going to be a big deal as far as we winning the conference and putting ourselves in the right position to go forward. So hopefully he makes the right decision. But somebody coming back from ACL, I think anything is possible. You know, I've seen people's bodies take longer than 8-9 months. They've taken 12 to 15 months to recover from it. And then I've seen people come back in just 8-9 months. So it all depends on the person. You know, hopefully Cam Rising is putting in the work to make sure that he's available for this team.
Sly, before we get you out here, we appreciate you joining us. I always love spring because it's just like there is like every positive thing you could think and every just hope springing eternal about a team, you know, right now, because the idea of Cam coming back, it's there. And once you're in fall, then everybody's going, so what's the real timeline here? And then you can't hide from anything because fall camp gets going and then Florida is like right on top of you. I mean, we're talking about that game being technically in August. So you can't say USC. What's the most important game on this schedule for 2023?
Man, I think there's a lot. There's going to be a lot, man. I don't even know. I think there's going to be a lot because there's different inflection points in the season that set the stage for everything. You know, I was just – Brian Johnson's in town this week, came in with his family, and we were kind of reflecting, you know, on when – we played and, you know, the differences between, you know, games at the beginning of the season, you know, when we won in 2008, you know, Michigan, you know, that was a great stage setting game in the Big House, you know, versus the last games of the year of BYU and TCU. And even in the middle of the season playing Oregon State, you know, that was when we really figured out who we were and what we were capable of that year. And so with this season coming up, there's plenty of different stage-setting games between starting the season off right here at home against Florida and then traveling to Baylor. You know, I think those are two dynamic games that if we come away with W's, it'll really set the stage with this team to believe in themselves. And then you're at the middle of the road, you know, on the start of the second quarter playing USC down there at the Coliseum. You know, that's going to be tough. And then later on in the season, you got Oregon and then Deion Sanders and the Buffs coming to town at the end of the year. There's going to be different inflection points, so I can't really pinpoint what exactly is going to be the most important game right now. I just know that, you know, this Pac-12 is intense. It's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy. And so these guys got to get their minds right because they're not going to get a break at any point. Yeah. There's no, like, oh, that's going to be an easy week. No, there's none of that this coming year. It's going to be tough each and every week, so they got to get their minds right now in spring, getting ready for the fall.
So you got the right answer in there, Sly. It was all of the games. It's just what you did as a player. You go, actually, we don't, you know, we think every game's important. The most important game is the first one, right? The next one. Right. Always good for the breakdown because really when you look at it, Every game, every team seems like they are getting better. Their quarterback play has improved, and so we're really looking forward to this season. Sly, we're looking forward to chatting with you again in the summertime when we get a little bit closer, maybe post-spring, get another vibe on this football team. Thanks for hanging out with us, man.
Man, love you guys. You guys stay safe and drive safe in this snow, man. Oh, man. It's coming down out here.
Can't wait. See, that's why it's good we don't have windows in the studio.
I know.
Yeah, it's good we can't see it. Sly gives us the weather update. Thanks, Sly. We'll chat with you again, man. Here we go. The Sly is so dang positive, too, right?
Like he's just a Utah man.
I know, and he just goes.
Love it.
And then he throws the word, you know. I mean, every game's going to be tough, and it is. They have some tough games. And ultimately, I mean, this is a team that has lost four games these last two seasons each, won the Pac-12 titles those two seasons, too. So getting freaked out at the beginning of the year might not be the thing, but you never like to just set it up with, well, something special is going to go on. It's like, yeah, but how healthy is Cam going to be? That's the real deal right there.
And for me, it's like, is that defense, can that be an elite defense?
Yeah.
Can that hold down the fort while the quarterback gets ready?
Joining us on the program right now, this is a first time for us here, too. The owner of Bear River Lodge, Roger Agate, joining us on the program here. Rob.
Here we go.
Go get it.
Let's go.
That's it.
It's time for the unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A NFL news from a former NFL quarterback.
Louisiana.
And, the other guy on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
NFL Roundup brought to you by the folks at Re Medical. Men, Re Medical is Utah's only physician owned and operated wellness clinic offering ED treatments that are discreet, non invasive, and customized to you. Give them a visit there online. Just check it out. See for yourself. Remedical.com is the website. That's remedical.com. So, I mentioned it earlier, Scott, but the Jets now have the longest playoff drought in all of the major sports currently as it stands.
Well, at least they're good at something.
They're on a streak. It certainly is a streak because the Kings were able to – and Mike Brown, is he going to be the NBA Coach of the Year? I mean, they're third in the West, and but going like he came in. This is his first year there, and Mike Brown has had other jobs, and he hasn't done. You know, it's always impossible to be the guy in LA, right? But he goes to Sacramento, and he just
they're pretty good,
tremendous dang job.
I've been impressed with Sacramento this year.
The question is, can the Jets go to the playoffs and in that streak? Do we know who the next one is? No. Is it a hockey team?
Wow.
Jeremy just goes, you know what? Check me on it. It's a hockey team. Maybe the Sabres, he said. Is that in
why
Buffalo
is it,
still?
Why is it that hockey doesn't seem to have the same, oh, man, you haven't been to the playoffs.
Here's what's good about hockey. Because there's way more, and I hate the word, but it is definitely the case in hockey. There's a reason the playoffs are so exciting, because there's freaking parity. These teams match up, and the playoffs are insane. You can't, like the amount of close games in hockey is just awesome. So playoff hockey is better hockey than any other.
I love hockey. I love to watch
hockey. It's better than any other playoff that you can get. And it's unfortunate that people don't love it as much as they should.
I think a lot of people
do. Give us an NHL team and Salt Lake will show you how it's done.
We'll love that team.
Yes. So there you go. Jets on playoff watch for this year. You think people aren't going to be talking about that too? We were talking about it now when the season comes around. That's what people are going to be talking about.
Can I give you my hot take?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Woke me up this morning.
Scott wakes himself up with hot takes. Let's go. I want to hear it.
I think Jaren Hall throwing the football had a better pro day than Zach Wilson did.
You know, that's interesting. I didn't see the full Jaren workout. I saw
From what I watched of all of it, and I believe I watched all of it, I was extremely impressed with, and it was really the accuracy of his throws. It's actually the accuracy and the velocity on a lot of his throws was pretty spot on.
You know, you say that.
It was very surprising to me from the combine. It actually looked a lot better than
he improved his stock than we were talking. Who were we talking to last week?
Now him running, I watched him running and I was like, okay.
Well, he had like a 4.62, which wasn't blazing fast.
No,
but it was. But I don't think. But people don't look at him and go, I didn't like your 40 time. I think they look and they go, you're one of the more elusive quarterbacks that we've seen on film. And there are guys who can run better 40s, but I think that in terms of athleticism, maybe we're biased because, you know, we had Jaron on our show every week for 2 years. But, man, I'm pulling for that guy. And when you say that, that actually gives me a lot of hope. When you see that he had a better accuracy day, and part of it is that we got a little bit of the wool pulled over our eyes by Zach Wilson's pro day, right?
I think had Zach Wilson gone in and played well and had improved, I think it would have helped Jaron Hall's draft stock, actually. I really do.
Watching
the pure just throwing and how it was, I was like, that actually was more impressive to me.
That's good news for BYU fans who might have heard, you know, that maybe his stock fell off a little bit. Mitch Harper, our BYU insider for KSLSports.com, is pretty convinced that he's going to be a sixth-round guy.
Yeah, he probably will be, but nonetheless.
And I don't know.
Sure looked good throwing the football.
The thing is when guys are graded at sixth round or fifth or sixth round, like, it's the same basically as being you could be as easily undrafted as you could be a sixth-round guy. That's how it kind of plays out.
Drafts are – any draft pick is very valuable in the NFL. There have been just countless players who have had tremendous careers, Hall of Fame careers, really in all rounds and even being free agents.
Speaking of pro days, Anthony Richardson from Florida, he had his pro day down there in Gainesville. And you know what's interesting is that people started comparing Zach Wilson – footage from, you know, the throw.
Yeah.
Everybody remembers the throw now, right? Where he's tracking across the field and throws open, has to open up and throw across his body, and he makes kind of a throw on a dime, you know, down the field. Lots of arm strength, blah blah blah. And everybody hung their hat on that one and they loved it. Anthony Richardson hit the ceiling today in the practice facility. I looked at that and went, this to me doesn't really indicate and everybody's like, could you believe that? Look at the strength of that guy. And a ton of people in the comments of the social media posts that Florida put up of him hitting the ceiling with the ball put Zach Wilson's throw up to show, like, yeah, it doesn't really matter what you do on your local pro day.
I mean, I would say if you asked me which throw I was more impressed with, either hitting the roof of your indoor facility right, or the off-balance throw.
It was while he was allegedly trying to throw to a guy, too. It wasn't just like, look how high I can throw it. He was trying to throw it to somebody.
Yeah. I think hitting the ceiling might have a little bit more weight for me.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. Because do you know how hard that is to do? It just shows a tremendous amount of arm strength. And all I'm saying is, if people want to know, well, how strong is his arm? They go, well, he threw it and hit the ceiling of their indoor facility. And I don't care, you know. Now, if he threw the ball straight up in the air and hit it, that's one thing. But
he's throwing to a guy.
He actually was throwing it down the field. And I'd be curious to see how far that thing would go if he wasn't inside. And, of course, they like to throw inside because it's a static environment. You know, you don't have any – you're not in a 30-mile-an-hour wind, which is what I threw at. Oh, yeah, we were outside. Willie Nelson, man, he had his Farm Aid concert in the dome in Indianapolis. So we had to go.
You couldn't do it inside.
There was no such thing as an indoor facility.
So Willie Nelson took over for you guys performing to try to get drafted.
So I get a March day, you know, in the Midwest where the wind is just howling and it's freezing cold.
That is hilarious. I didn't know that. I've heard a lot of your stories. I didn't know.
You didn't know that
Willie
one?
Nelson's Farm Aid was the thing that took you outside.
Yeah, it was.
So like, did you hate Willie Nelson after that for a while?
Well, so it was the first year. It was a junior combine.
Yes.
So it was the first year because they had all these juniors.
They couldn't believe juniors were coming out. Yeah.
And Barry Sanders the year before had kind of argued that it wasn't if you've been in school for 3 years. Why should you not be able to, you know, even though maybe you redshirted or whatever.
That was the beginning of the end right there. That, That was the beginning of
floodgates.
And then NIL hit, and then the transfer portal, and here we are. Kids are in seventh grade getting recruited. I know we got to take a break, but I was.
We do?
Yeah, we do. Let's take a break. I guess we'll do it. We have plenty of time still here to get a couple things in. So let's do it. Let's take the break here. We'll come back with our two-minute drill. So coming up next right here, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
And now, a look at traffic from the KSL Traffic Center.
Time for a check of traffic on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Looks like we've got some rush hour volume on northbound I-15 anywhere between Farmington and Kaysville. Legacy's been unusually slow back about 4th North due to some earlier problems. Gore area crash on northbound I-15 at 2100 South. Delays southbound tightening between Murray and Midvale. Had some long delays going down Redwood Road. A crash at 2100 North Lehigh. It's adding to the delays from Camp.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
Presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Sports fans, welcome back. It is Unrivaled 97.5, the KSL Sports.
It's the Spout Zone.
It's the Spout Zone.
Remember I'm talking about Scott hush Mitchell. Puppies earlier?
Yeah.
It's the Spout Zone. Come on down, get some hush puppies.
That guy over there is Alex. I'm Scott. We do this show every day. You know what that music means, don't you,
yeah,
Alex?
Yeah, tell me what it is,
well,
bro.
I'll tell you what it means. It means that we still have a lot to talk about, but not a lot of time. So hurry up, finish the show, go home happy. And that's about it.
Let me.
No more desserts.
Can I bring something up here? Well, we don't eat desserts anymore, remember?
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
So the Astros and the White Sox are on opening day right now on ESPN. And they have a split. They have a third of the screen is Alex Bregman at short, who, by the way, is making the play right now.
Nice.
So they have him mic'd up and chatting with the Baseball Tonight guys.
Yeah.
Carl Ravitch is chatting with Alex Bregman. Yeah. And Roger Clemens threw the final out of the inning right there. That is so weird to me. Wouldn't you be? Now, obviously, Alex Bregman.
That's
called
insider baseball.
That is.
Right there.
There's no other sport where you can get that, right?
Yeah, not, it's pretty cool.
It's one thing to get him mic'd up and to play it afterward and go, and you know, when you get Peyton Manning later going, hey, Craig, I'm mic'd up. Don't say anything stupid. You know? And you hear it later. But it's another to be mid-game.
I think it's cool. Right? Yeah, while the game's going on.
So they've been doing it the last All-Star games, right?
No.
I don't know if this is the first time they've done it.
Baseball
but
realizes they better up their game or they're going to lose the fans.
So. Well, they do the between the innings things where they'll talk to guys between the innings with the headset on.
Yeah.
Bregman was full-on mic'd up on the field.
I know that's going to get me watching baseball.
Well, that was fascinating. That was fascinating to see him make that play while he's like, well, hold on. You like see him and they're like making them like mic him down while he's like grunting and making that throw to first.
It was in between pitches, though.
So you want something fascinating?
Yeah, I want some fascinating.
Some Carol Baskin fascinating stuff here.
Yeah.
Here's something fascinating for
what do you.
Got? The Cowboys did not offer Ezekiel Elliott a contract because they did not want to offend him.
Mm. So they thought it'd be better to what? They cut him, didn't they?
So they just cut him.
Hey, we don't want to offend you with a bad contract, so you're not on the team anymore. You're cut. That's BS, isn't it? I mean, you're the guy who sees through.
Why do you even mention that you did this? Like, because actually mentioning it sounds worse. It's like, here's a player that's played for you for a long time. Why don't you just go and talk to him? And in private, just say, look, you're going to have to take a haircut. Are you okay with that? And if he goes, well, what kind of haircut? And we go, it's really bad. And we'll you know, if you want to know, we'll tell you, or we can just release you and you can kind of go find a new deal. And maybe, you know, I hope that's what happened. But for them to come out and actually say something and say, well, yeah, it was an embarrassing offer. It's like, who knows? Maybe Ezekiel Elliott goes, look, I want to be with the Cowboys. I'll play for whatever. It just seems a little disingenuous and disrespectful for a player that's kind of been, you know, a good person, a good teammate, and a very good player.
And he's been a little bit of the face of that Cowboys team for a while. But running backs don't get the type of run that, you know, pardon my French there, pardon my irony, but they don't get the type of run that, that other players do. And they don't get the attention. And they certainly don't get the paydays. So, you know, telling him that we didn't want to offend you with a low deal, so we're just going to cut you so that you can get a higher deal somewhere else? I don't know. Maybe
so
that's the case.
Apparently, WWE wanted John Madden to do commentary.
Oh, I saw this.
During live matches.
Listen. Boom, the ball's there. Boom, we cross him. Boom. You know, like they do in wrestling.
It'd be amazing. Boom, right there. You like they do in wrestling? He watched it. That's the thing, is that John Madden watched it. I think that the his agent chatted with him and said, hey, listen. We got we have an image we got to you know keep up here.
You're a football guy.
I think now it would have been awesome. It would have been funny. It would have been. By the way, it would have been the best. What's the dude's? Who's the bald guy? Gene, who was doing WWF WWE when I was a kid. He was the guy in the back with a tuxedo on, going now Warrior, talking to Ultimate Warrior. Now Warrior, he said this about you. You know,
I'll
like,
tell you.
Madden would give you this unfiltered, like, what's your problem? Like, he would go at guys, and he'd be... And you talk about a guy that would follow the script and would totally know how to egg people on and know how to play the game.
See, I
missed
think
opportunity, WWE.
Yeah, that now that we're just finding this out, that's terrible. I'll tell you the best matchup, though, would be John Candy mud wrestling with John Madden doing the commentary. That would be epic.
Why John Candy?
Did you not see John Candy? Oh, you're too young.
No.
Nah, you're too
what
young.
What was it in?
Stripes.
Oh, yes, that's right. The Bill Murray movie. I was like, what does this sound vaguely familiar?
Anyways, it would have been epic.
I miss John Madden.
I miss John Candy.
See, in John Candy, the John Candy of my day was Chris Farley. So,
okay,
very similar.
Actually, Chris Farley, John Candy wrestling each other, mud wrestling, and John Madden commentating.
But see, Chris Farley's wrestling personality would have been Matt Foley in the full blazer, van down by the river, etc. All right.
Could you have Joe Rogan as the color commentator?
He wouldn't be as fun. No, because he gets too serious. He takes himself too serious. All right. Joining us on the program right now as we wrap the hour up here, we've had a good time being able to chat with Roger Eggett, who's the owner of Bear River Lodge. And short time here, Roger, I mean, to educate us on this thing and educate everybody on this, but if people want to rent a cabin from you guys at Bear River Lodge, this is a great time to do it. What are the deals that you have going on right now?
Hey, you know, I don't want to mess up your mud wrestling discussion.
But
do you guys have mud wrestling at the Bear River Lodge?
We're going to have some serious mud this year. So if people want to get out and play in the mud,
might be a good
come ride a side-by-side in May and June because it is going to be spectacular.
Alex and I will come
and commentate.
The snow is
eventually going to melt and they can come out and play.
We'll do the John Madden commentary of it. So if people want to come up, though, I think people might not necessarily know that you guys as you're transitioning from winter to summer, which will obviously might be a lot more winter, if you want to get up right now, you guys have all the snowmobile, all the snow gear to play on. These snow bikes sound like a ton of fun. So what can people do right now to enjoy themselves still in this 4 feet of snow that you have up there?
Yeah, we realize that people are done with winter, and it's been a long winter. But the sun is going to come out, and playing in the snow when the sun is shining is a lot of fun. So come out, rent a machine, get the second day or second machine half off. You can bring up a big group, bring 10 of you. 5 of you will pay regular rate, 5 get half off. Come stay in a cabin, pay regular rate for the first night, as many additional nights as you want, half off, now through the end of May or May 25th. And then, but if you're looking for summer, if you want to get your business group together, now is a spectacular time because the rates are low. Or come this summer with your family and come stay in the family reunion cabin. You know, last time we talked a little bit about fishing. We have 2 private fishing ponds stocked with rainbow and brown trout that are fun. One's catch and keep for the kids. One's catch and release for the professionals. So whatever you want to do, come swim in the pool, sit in the hot tub, sit around the fire, go ride the side-by-sides and ATVs in the forest. Come check out the National Forest up in the Uintas and come to Bear River Lodge.
BearRiverLodge.com is where people can go. Check out the accommodations for yourself there. Perfect, you know, views of the rooms and of these cabins.
And Roger, you talked a little bit about it too. If you also wanted to maybe get that sweetheart getaway, also an option.
Yeah, you know, if getaway, we have studio cabins that are absolutely beautiful. Just get your spouse, your partner, come stay, come play. Just get away, regardless of your group size. We can accommodate from 2 people to 100 people. So come on up and play.
You might as well do it. Take advantage of the deal that Roger's setting up here. It's going to be a big one, too. A nice year for you to get up there with the snow. An even better one for the summer, too, as well. Get those side-by-sides going and get all the accommodations. BearRiverLodge.com. Find out more. Rent any cabin now through May 25th. You pay the regular rate for the first night. You get the rest of the nights a half off. Are you kidding? Roger, thanks for hanging out. It's been good to get to know you today, man. Thanks for being with us.
You guys come up and play. I'll host you both. Get up here and let's have some fun.
Okay.
I'll be there this weekend.
Done. Okay. Scott's the professional, by the way. I'm the kid that's going to do the keep on the podcast. So there you go. Roger Eggett, BearRiverLodge.com. Find out more and go up there and have some fun. Yes, let's do it. BearRiverLodge.com. More to go around the corner. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Attention. This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. Attention. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented baby, by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, this is unfair. Yankees slugger Aaron Judge. What did he sign in the offseason? It was like a 200 and maybe three something, yeah? I mean, he signed an insane deal. Pay himself $38 million a year, something like that. First pitch he faced in 2023 was the very first home run of the entire Major League Baseball
It was the
season.
First pitch he saw,
oh, wow. Too. Because we asked that earlier when we saw it. I go, oh, he hit a home run in his first at-bat, and it was the first one of Major League Baseball season. And they showed it, and it was his very first pitch that he saw at the plate.
That's awesome.
And it was at Yankee Stadium.
Let's go, Yankees.
Some guys just can't not be successful, man. I mean, not that there's not work going into it. Obviously, Aaron Judge. Think about the baseball player now. You got him. You got that Nelson Cruz guy. They're both like 6'7". The best two baseball players
Aaron
maybe
Judge
in the East,
big dude.
6'7", 270. No, the Cruz guy, he runs like a – it'd be like the equivalent of like a 4'4".
Nice.
Dude is massive, and he runs like the dang wind.
Nice,
okay.
Nice.
There you go. I wanted to bring this up. I wanted to say congrats to Dusty May. He's head coach at FAU, right?
Yeah.
Kind of obviously, the Owls have become – and we chatted a little bit about him earlier in the week – because he thought he couldn't do the job, right?
Yeah.
That was the whole thing. He's like, man, I'm an imposter. And then he goes in, and he does this job, and in 5 years takes him to the Final Four. They're first. And instead of doing the thing where he goes, he's announced as the new coach at fill-in-the-blank bigger program, Dusty May is going to stay at FAU and is likely going to sign a lucrative deal in the offseason. Not likely. He's going to. That's going to be the thing is he is going to sign a big deal. And he's going to stay at FAU. I think that's very admirable.
Yeah, I mean, why not? I mean, you have
they're
you're
now
starting
Final
to
Four
build
program,
something,
man.
They've shown that they can actually get to get to the dance and have a lot of success there. And you have to wonder, with how basketball is today, that and I guess the flexibility of moving around. He did say he had a lot of players, but. Having players being able to come into your program and the exposure they've got, they might be the Gonzaga of the East. Who knows?
Let's take a break. It's the long break. We'll be back again tomorrow. Shorter show tomorrow. We'll be at the warehouse.
So short show.
For Scott, I'm Alex. Jeremy hitting the buttons across the glass. We'll talk to you tomorrow, everybody. It's 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.